victories were achieved, losses were suffered, odds were overcome, and the teams left it all on the gridiron. It's time to recap the week that was. It's time for the most in-depth sports coverage from the Parkland to Jefferson County. It's time for the Kohl's Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable. Here are the highlights from the previous week.
They fake it to Brickhouse this time, and instead give it to Jaden Rystrom, and Rystrom is on the move to the middle, now cutting to the outside. He's to the far side of the field, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20. Touchdown, Jaden Rystrom! Rystrom takes it in from 74 yards out.
There's the snap, and it's a fake as they toss it. Dawson Day running with it to the 10, to the 5. Is he in? Yes! Touchdown Central! A fake field goal, and they run it in. Dawson Day with the touchdown, and we're tied 6-6 with 11:52 to go in the half.
Second and goal. Moon is going to hand off over right guard and into the end zone this time.
Colbiot.
It's Colbiot.
A
touchdown for the Blue Jays on second and goal. And on the opening drive, Jefferson is in front 6-0.
Taken by Reynolds, then hands it off Hawk as they cross over. Hawk cuts it back to the near side 30. To the 40, the kicker to beat midfield, has the 40, sideline 30, to the 20, 10, 5, touchdown, Dylan Hawk, 80-plus yard kickoff return, as Reynolds handed it off, Dylan Hawk did the rest as he danced around a couple of defenders around the 25, and then took off, got past the kicker, and scored 6.
Get the insight from the players and coaches themselves.
I think we got some guys, you know, this season that, perhaps aren't going to be on, a lot of guys' radar, but they're going to be able to do some really good things for
us. I believe, yes, we do have the firepower that nobody else has had.
Each year we've been trying to progressively get into, quote unquote, a blue-collar type mentality.
We go in thinking we're going to win district championships, state championships, make runs. I mean, we got to do what we can do.
Follow along on Twitter at MIMO Info Sports and at KJF Sports.
Hi, I'm Hannah Cole, and you're listening to the Kohl's Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable. Don't just follow the herd, lead the herd.
Now, live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington, here's your hosting duo, Matt Greenwood and Sean Malone.
Well, happy Wednesday to you. Sean Malone broadcasting from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington. It's the Kohl's Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable. Joining me is Andy Humphrey and Nick Lewis. Chad Speaker will be on the AM side of the dial this evening with some Mineral Area College basketball, but we're still going to break down all the games throughout the listening area just the same, starting first with the J98 game. Festus upsetting Farmington on their own turf, 28-21, the final in that one. I think that shocked a lot of people. Festus has been playing some good football at the end of the year, but pretty much all season long, Farmington has been playing some great football, guys.
Well, and Festus, they use the running game as they always do, and you know, Farmington tried to combat that. They had a good comeback attempt as well, the Knights did, and credit Festus for getting out to a hot start, because that's really what drove them throughout the game. You have to start really fast against this Farmington team so that you make them chase the game a little bit more. If you let them, you know, take control early, you know, you might be in some trouble. Credit Festus for a good game plan going in.
Meanwhile, with that game being on at J98, KREI was open, so we put the Central Rebels on air there. They topped the Dexter Bearcats 13-6 in a close defensive battle that involved some big plays from Central, a big play call that tied the game, and later on in the game, a big play from a freshman gave them the win.
Well, gutsy performances on every side from Central. I think their defense really showed up in the second half. That's what kept them in it. Both teams, you know, they were limited on their possessions in the first half and had some of their issues after both teams scored on their opening drive, a couple of picks for both sides in that first half. But Central, again, I think it was won by their defense. They did have the big plays. They had the fake field goal where they could have made it 6-3. Instead, they wanted to tie the game on their first possession and make it 6-6. And Dawson Day, a really nice run there. And Deshaun Welch with another incredible run. He has shown some real promise as a freshman in that backfield for Central, backing up their two starting running backs. And Central, I think on the defensive side, really held this Dexter running attack at bay, and that's what kept them in it, and that's what led to the win.
Meanwhile, on AM 1400, KJF Mac Greenwood, who will be joining us later on, along with the
Fox Warriors. They defeated the Sekhmet Jaguars 62-35. Another strong showing from Fox, and you're going to need another one with Jackson. That's who they're playing this coming Friday night. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on as head coach Brent Tinker of the Fox Warriors and a few of his players are expected to join us later tonight. And on the Coles Tractor and Equipment Web TV game, Nick Crothersville knocked off Jefferson. We knew this was going to be a tough matchup for the Blue Jays, and they just fell behind and really couldn't get anything going on offense.
Yeah, you know, you look at Crothersville, and their only two losses of the season were to Kennett and Haytine. We know that they're still playing at this point of the season with one loss between them respectively combined. So, yes, it was going to be a tough game. You heard it in the intro, though. Jefferson actually got off to a great start, and then up 7-0, they were driving again, but this is kind of when things turned. A turnover here, a turnover there, and then eventually the Crothersville physicality really took over in that game. They've got some big dudes on that team, and that was kind of what did Jefferson in. It started with the mistakes, ended with just the physicalness of the Tigers taking over the game.
Other scores throughout the listening area in Week 11 District Semifinal Round. It was Kennett topping Potosi 48-9, and Charleston top St. Pius 50-27. St. Pius head coach Jerry Wood says they got off to a bad start.
We were down 14-6 after the first quarter. Second quarter just got out of hand on us. They outscored us 22-0. They're big, fast, athletic, and run right down at you. Regrouped second half, and we played like we've played most of the year. Second half, we outscored them 21-14, but just a little bit too much damage done there in the second quarter.
Haytie topped St. Vincent 74-13, and the Valley Catholic Warriors beat Scott City 56-28. Valley head coach Chad Nagger says they started and ended strong.
It was just kind of a game of, can't really say two halves, but we were really good in the first and the fourth quarter. We didn't give up a first down in the first quarter or the fourth quarter. And, you know, it was kind of a dogfight there in the second and third, but our kids did an outstanding job of responding to some challenges that we laid down at halftime. Overall, I thought it was, perhaps our best win of the year.
That is it. Not a lot of games throughout the listening area for Week 11, with it being the district semifinals. And we'll take a bit of a break here, and when we return, break down the J98 game of the week, where, again, Festus upset Farmington 28-21. And back after this on the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington on J98.
From mailboxing to packing, the UPS Store does everything for small business, including printing. Because running your own business means you're also in charge of marketing and promoting. And our printing experts can help with professional business carding, menuing, postering, all the inks to get people, well, buzzing. The UPS Store. Every ink for small business. And of course, shipping.
Hi, this is Jim, owner of the UPS Store in Festus in the Gannon Plaza. Come see us for all your printing, shipping, and packaging needs.
Have you ever been to dinner with a friend and realized you don't have cash to split the check? Or do you need to pay the soccer coach for that new uniform? Hi, Paul Hale from New Era Bank, and our new app has just what you need. Our app features person-to-person payments. This allows you to pay from your cell phone directly to someone else's. They receive a text from you and get the money real-time, even if you don't bank with us. Check out our website at www.newerabank.com for more information, or call one of our locations. Member FDIC.
Comtree Dental is leading in innovation to serve your family in Jefferson County. Find us serving students in more than 80 schools.
Visit our pediatric specialist, the only pediatric dentist accepting Medicaid in Jefferson County.
Receive care in our fully equipped mobile dental clinic.
Call 877-COMTREE or visit us online at comtree.org to schedule an appointment for your smile.
Welcome to our family tree.
Everybody's going home, pool, and spa.
Imagine slipping into your own spa at the end of a long day. Soothing, relaxing, refreshing. This can be your life. We can help. I'm Angie DeClue, owner of Home Pools and Spas. We have new inventory of spas, starting from two-person all the way up to family size. One that will fit in the corner of your patio to larger models that can be used indoors or out. Home Pools and Spas on the Outer Service Road just south of the Ludington exit.
Hey, it's the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable Show from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington on J98. One final time this season. This will be our last show. And now to break down the J98 game again. This is one that caught a lot of people by surprise. Farmington, the 2 seed, facing Festus, the 3 seed. But Farmington, with the impressive season that they had, I'm really shocked that Festus did come away with a victory, although they've been playing some good football of late. Did you kind of feel the same, Andy?
Well, I thought Festus all season long, they played some stiff competition, and I think it prepared them for a game like this. And, you know, Farmington, they played tough competition themselves. I mean, it's not to say that Farmington didn't, but, you know, Festus on the road, they had a good game plan. I think really two good coaches going at it. I think Russ Schmidt in the end really emphasized getting out to the start that they did and pounding it on the ground, and they found those few little holes, and we'll see a lot of big plays here where that really helped Festus in the end and put Farmington on their heels early.
Strength in numbers, that was the key for the Festus Tigers all season long, and well, they went on the road and survived a furious comeback from Farmington to advance to the Class 4 District 1 Championship game 28-21, the final. After holding the Knights to a 3-and-out to start the game, Festus went 3-and-in.
They fake it to Brickhouse this time and instead give it to Jaden Rystrom, and Rystrom is on the move to the middle, now cutting to the outside. He's to the far side of the field, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20. Touchdown, Jaden Rystrom. Rystrom takes it in from 74 yards out.
That'd be the play of the game on J98. The Tigers, they got it back on down to mark 79 yards on 14 plays. The drive took nearly 8 minutes and ended with a fourth down keeper from their quarterback.
Robinson and Anderson in the backfield, and they go with a quarterback run to the left side. Doyle turns the corner to the 5, into the end zone. An 11-yard run by Colin Doyle, his fourth rushing touchdown of the season, his first carry of the night, and the Tigers are on top, 13-0 over the Knights, 9:59 remaining in the first half.
Colin Doyle became the starter for the Festus Tigers about the midway point of the season, only a sophomore, but he really gave them another element to their offense, being able to run the ball, something that from the quarterback position they didn't have much of on the season up until that point. After that, it was 14-0 favoring Festus. Farmington finally got its offense out of neutral in the second quarter by giving it to their highlight machine, Royce Harris.
Harris goes in motion once again. Option play, left side. Files, late pitch, and this is Harris. Royce to the 30, to the 20. You won't catch him. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Royce Harris on a beautifully run option play. 31 yards. The late pitch from Files to Harris. And Royce Harris gets into the end zone for the 20th time on the ground this year. And they chopped the lead in half.
20 touchdowns on the season for Royce Harris, entering that game 1,400 yards, but that was the last time he would carry the ball in the game, which is surprising. He's been their go-to guy all season long, Nick.
No doubt about it, and you look at a guy who hasn't really played a whole lot of football leading up to this point now in his high school career. With it being 14-7 at that juncture, still a lot of game left, as you're about to find out as we continue to go through this. Just unbelievable that he didn't touch the ball. And I know sometimes game flow kind of plays into that. And, of course, they were behind the entirety of the game. So that certainly had a part in that as well, is you got to kind of throw the football a little bit more. But still, just a wild turn of events.
You think, though, that early in the game still, when you do need to cover some ground, get back in a hurry, Royce Harris is the perfect player to get the ball to, because he can score on any single play.
No doubt about it, and that's why it's strange. You know, if it happened to, you know, if it happened in the fourth quarter where you're down by a bunch of points and then you need to throw the ball a lot, we can kind of understand that. But when it's that early on in the game, you wouldn't expect them to ditch the running, you know, part of your offense that early on, and yet they did for whatever reason.
Score at the halftime break, 14-7 favoring Festus. Then the Tigers, they came back in the second half by scoring on their first two possessions. The Tigers extended their lead with another touchdown run from Rystrom, and then made it a 21-point differential behind fullback Jack Robinson.
It's Jack Robinson in the ball game at the fullback position now, as Doyle goes down under center on a third and goal. Robinson hammers his way into the end zone. A 2-yard touchdown run. Jack Robinson, his sixth touchdown run of the season, and the Festus Tigers are now up by 3 scores, 26-7 over Farmington, 10:44 remaining in the fourth.
28-7 would be the score after the two-point try, and Farmington would enter the fourth quarter trailing by 3 scores. And being back in the studio throughout the game, you didn't really have the "uh-oh, Farmington's in trouble" thought until that fourth quarter came around, because you always think, okay, Harris will get the ball, take it to the house, it's a one-score game, anything can happen after that. And And without him getting the ball, that just kind of didn't happen as the second quarter continued all the way until they entered the fourth. And then you start to think, okay, this is a run-first team in Farmington. Maybe now they're going to be in some trouble, because if they want to stick with their regular offense, the clock will start working against them faster than maybe a normal team that spreads the ball out a bit more.
Exactly right. And, you know, it's something that we'll see a little bit in the Jefferson game in a little while, as when teams get into a hole, a running team like Jefferson, a team in Farmington that loves to hand the ball off to Royce Harris, you know, it may not have been the case early on that they should have gone away from Harris, but at that point, down 28-7, entering the fourth, you kind of have to do it. You kind of have to go away from the running game at least a little bit, throw the football more, and obviously that's what Farmington had to do, and I guess we'll see what the results were in just a sec.
Yeah, and this Festus Tigers team, again, they run the ball very heavily. You know, Farmington, with both those teams, with that style of offense, Jefferson, like you said, we'll talk about them a little bit more later on. You can ill afford to fall behind early on in games, because then it kind of forces you out of your base offense earlier on than, you know, maybe some other teams that spread the ball a bit more through the air.
It's a blessing and a curse when you primarily run the ball. When you get in the lead, it's a lot easier to sit on a lead because you're up three scores now, and your offense is predicated around the run. So if you can just get a few first downs, you're going to melt that clock down more and more and more as the contest goes on. For a passing team, it's a lot easier to make a comeback, but maybe when they're in the lead, it's a little bit harder to sit on the lead, like I mentioned just a moment ago. For Festus, a team that likes to run, up 28-7 entering the fourth, you would think that, you know, they've got it in hand, but I guess we'll see.
Trailing by three touchdowns entering the fourth quarter, Farmington finally turned their quarterback, Caden Files, loose through the air. Files came into the game with 163 yards passing on the season. He threw for 152 in this game, though. On consecutive passes, Farmington was back in the game.
Files is back to pass again. He's looking to the right corner of the end zone. He has a man deep, but it's caught by Tyson Gray for a Farmington touchdown. Welcome back, Tyson Gray, an 18-yard score, and Files hit him right in stride to make it now a two-score game. Files looking down the middle of the field. He's got Eli Lamb in one-on-one coverage, and Lamb hauls it in and goes the rest of the way. Eli Lamb for 70 yards. Tremendous concentration as the defender was right there, and Caden Files threw a rainbow out there and found the pot of gold at the other side. Touchdown, Farmington. It goes Files to Lamb, and we've got a one-score ball game.
So just like that, all of a sudden it's a one-score ball game at the end, like Chad said, and now you're thinking, okay, now Farmington has a chance to come back in this one.
No doubt about it, and like what we mentioned before, the play calling, you get a little bit fortunate with the game through the air, in which you don't usually like to throw the ball at all if you're Farmington. But then you're put in a situation where you have to. It's successful, and now you hope if you can just get the ball back with enough time, maybe you'll have some time to get the ball to Royce Harris to try and, you know, close the gap even more when it's a 7-point game. But as we'll find out in just a moment, that's not quite how it worked out for Farmington.
Now, I will say a couple times they did try to run plays involving Royce Harris. It's an option, so it can go one way or another. And I think there was twice at least confusion where either Royce Harris ran the wrong way or Caden Files turned the wrong way with it. I don't know exactly. I wasn't there to watch it. Chad, unfortunately, not here to really clarify in those plays. But I know there was a few times they called plays involving Royce Harris in the option, and there was some miscommunication at some point that led to him not even being an option on the option. The Knights defense, they came up with a stop, but Farmington could not muster the final score they needed to send it to overtime or win the game. Jane Rystrom and Austin Anderson combined for 29 carries and 300 yards rushing for Festus, while Farmington's Royce Harris came into the game averaging 140 rushing yards, but carried the ball only five times for 40 yards. Matt, you've seen the Festus Tigers a handful of times this season. You know, Farmington is really, especially when Tyson Gray went down, has really been led by Royce Harris. That's been their go-to guy. Festus doesn't really have that go-to guy. They've got like a six-headed running back core in the backfield. It's crazy.
Well, and you know, I think that can certainly help them as they take on West Plains on Friday, is when a team schemes defensively for an offense such as Farmington, you know, Coach Schmidt will easily see Royce Harris as making the biggest impact on the team. And it's circle that guy on every game film and say, hey, we stop this guy, we give ourselves a really good chance to win. And obviously, you know, Royce Harris gets his moments, but for the most part, Festus does a good job of you know, being able to shut down a team's best player when they have the guys that can do so. So that's kind of what Festus did. And as you mentioned, sort of a six-headed monster, it's almost like whoever has a hot hand gets fed the most. And right now, Coach Schmidt has a tough decision deciding who has a hot hand, but maybe he doesn't have to make that decision. Maybe you can just give it to whoever, and they'll make plays, and they'll do well.
That's one you kind of just make on the fly as the game goes along. You have someone that really starts getting going, you just keep feeding him until he's no longer going.
Yeah, most certainly. And what I like about this Festus team is, as we've talked about before, they did wrap up the regular season playing very good football. They went, you know, they played Troy Buchanan at home, a class, six school?
Mm-hmm. And that was a game, I called that one on KHF. Yeah. They win that game if they don't make a few mistakes late.
Yeah, that's the thing. They had, a 13-point lead in the second half, like 38-25
late
or something like that.
Late with just a few minutes left, and then a couple turnovers really cost them.
So, I mean, obviously, that, like we all said, that was the game that if Festus could come out and compete against Troy Buchanan, that could be the turning point in their season, and we're seeing the results pay off in these last couple of games.
Farmington ends the season at 7-4. Festus improves to 7-4, and they'll travel to take on a third-ranked and undefeated West Plains in the district championship game. Nick, you're going to have coverage of that game on AM 1400 KJF. I don't know how much you've divulged into West Plains yet, but if you have, can you kind of give us an idea on what the Tigers and their fans should expect?
Well, you're right. I haven't looked all the way into it yet, but what I have been able to find is West Plains hasn't really been in a close game all season long. They're undefeated. And not only that, they have not given up a point in district play to this juncture of the tournament so far. So it's obviously going to be a tall task, but if Festus can do two things, one, when they have a lead, try to extend it. Like against Farmington, obviously, as you saw, Farmington made a bit of a late rally. And second, they need to limit mistakes. And maybe the mistakes that you were talking about in the game that you called, Sean, those are the ones that could do them in against a team as surgical as West Plains. So if they are to compete with West Plains, it's got to be those two things. And with West Plains not giving up a single point so far in district play, it's certainly going to be a tall task.
So that wraps things up for the J98 game of the week, where the Festus Tigers, they took the victory over the Farmington Knights 28-21. We'll take a break, and when we return, we'll break down the game on AM 800 KREI from this past Friday night. The Central Rebels with a tough victory over the Dexter Bearcats, 13-6, the final in that one. For broadcasting from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington, it's the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable on J98.
Coles Tractor and Equipment continues to be the leader of compact tractor sales for St. Francis and surrounding counties. How, you ask? It's simple. By selling the best quality for the best price with a proven best warranty on the market. Hi, it's Hannah with LS, the major brand maker of two other brands. Brands that you already know and love. At Coles Tractor and Equipment, you get that same franchise quality with the best 6-year parts and labor warranty and more standard features than I can name in this 60-second ad. This month, get the 35-horsepower 4-wheel drive diesel tractor with loader and skid steer front bucket for only $16,999. That's right, get the 35-horsepower compact diesel tractor with loader for only $16,999. Give us a call today, 573-756-4353, or stop by Coles Tractor and Equipment, 1 mile east of Farmington on Highway 32. Coles Tractor and Equipment, don't just follow the herd, lead the herd.
Convenience at your fingertips. Whether you have checking accounts, saving accounts, CDs, IRAs, or loans, you can access all of your accounts on Bloomsdale Bank's easy-to-use mobile app. View balances, make transfers, and enjoy many other features the Bloomsdale Bank app has to offer. Visit their website at bloomsdalebank.com or visit any of their 5 locations in Herculaneum, Crystal City, Bloomsdale, or St. Genevieve. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Make it a great night at Applebee's Bar and Grill. Hi, this is Amy Cousins, General Manager of Applebee's in Farmington. Start out with a couple of appetizers and let the kids pick from their favorite menu item. For yourself, how about a half rack of baby back ribs with a 6-ounce sirloin steak? Or a grilled shrimp skewer with 5 crispy shrimp and a 6-ounce USDA select top sirloin? Or 10 crispy shrimp and grilled salmon? Go to Applebee's.com for the full menu and specific times for happy hours and half-price appetizers. Doing good in the neighborhood at Applebee's Bar and Grill in Farmington.
It's the Colts Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington on J98 The Booth, where they've got a special now during Blues hockey games. $20 beer and wings. You get a pitcher of beer and a bucket of 20 boneless wings as well, all for $20. Not a bad deal at the end of the night. Let's take a look at the AM800 KREI game. Central 13, Dexter 6, the final in that one. And Andy, this is a game of aggressive play calling for the Central Rebels and some highlight plays from some young players being the difference at the end of the day.
It was also a game of defense, and both defenses are strong. And they really showed that in this contest. A lot of takeaways on both sides. And Central still having some issues with protecting the football, but Dexter, they had issues themselves, and Central took advantage fully in this game. They were able to ice away the clock after making some really good defensive stops down the stretch after they took the lead in the second half. It was an impressive performance on both sides.
So the Central Rebels, they punched their ticket to the Class 3 District 1 Championship coming up this Friday night by defeating the Dexter Bearcats once again 13-6. Dexter was first to grab points, driving downfield for 10 plays on their first possession.
Hands it off up the middle. This is Strong. Breaks a tackle, has the first down. 10-5 to the left, and he scores.
Score stayed 6-0 Bearcats after a failed two-point try on the ensuing Rebels drive. The team lined up for a field goal, but the end result was much different.
There's the snap, and it's a fake as they toss it. Dawson Day running with it to the 10, to the 5. Is he in? Yes, touchdown Central. A fake field goal, and they run it in. Dawson Day with the touchdown, and we're tied 6-6 with 11:52 to go in the half.
Yeah, I think what made that fake field goal so legitimate for Central was just the fact that they actually have a field goal game. They don't kick it all the time. They have just a handful of times this season, but and Bridges is a legitimate kicker for them, and well, that gives them the threat of lining up like that, and then you've saved those in your back pocket for when you really need it. But Coach Weiss always has a trick play dialed up somewhere in his play sheet and pulled it out that time with a fake field goal. Huge play call. Did you talk to Schweiss about that play after the game, Andy?
Well, yeah, he talked about, you know, having that situation near the end zone. You know, you got to make sure you get those opportunities and you take advantage of them. I like the play call either way. I think it's, you know, a good job by, you know, it was great execution. The holder, Jake Casey, he tossed it to Dawson Day, who had a really nice lane on the right side. And I think he could have been a first down, if not a touchdown on the play. I think they had a chance to get a first down instead of scoring. So it was a good play call. They would have had a nice result either way on that play, even if they hadn't scored. It really is a testament to how Central has kept in a lot of these games. And this was their first drive, and it ended in the second quarter. So you were thinking, you know, Dexter goes on their first drive. They take up half the first quarter, and they score a touchdown. And Central has their final play of their last drive start in the second quarter. So you're probably thinking, how many drives are you going to have? How many chances are you going to have at the 10-yard line to run it in? They took advantage and really fooled Dexter that time.
Especially when this is not the Central offense of years past this season. It just hasn't been as explosive. And, I mean, the scores dictate that. Coach Weiss, I'm sure, would agree with that sentiment too. And you got to think, okay, maybe we get 3 points here, but with limited possessions in a game with an offense that isn't what it used to be, we got to get everything we can get on every drive.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you look at the team, they have the big play potential, and they had big plays in this game, but you're right, it doesn't happen, you know, 4 or 5 times a game. It might happen once or twice. So you're looking at capitalizing on your opportunities both early and late. It doesn't really matter what time in the game it's happening. I think he would have done this at any point if he had, you know, been in this exact situation, 10-yard line, lining up for a field goal. I think it's a good call either way.
Now, with the fake, how did it go exactly? I know he tossed it to Dawson Day. Did Dawson Day come straight? Was it like a lateral forward? Was it one of those, like, college
backward
football over the back of your head?
So, lateral backwards. It looked like a bad snap at first. That's the first thing that I saw. But it was a good snap, and you know, the holder kind of took it a little bit high, and then Dawson Day ran behind him from the left side. He was, you know, lined up on the left side of the line. And then he comes behind, takes the toss, and really good blocking up front from the field goal unit there to seal off the edge for Day. And he was able to just break that last tackle right near the end zone to score that one.
So again, on the bad snap on the extra point, kept the score at 6-6. Both teams had only two possessions for the rest of the second half, which all of them ended in interceptions. In the second half, freshman Deshaun Welch broke free for a 67-yard touchdown to give the Rebels lead 13-6. The defense stood tall for Central, holding Dexter's rushing attack to just 21 second-half yards. They all but sealed it with their fourth takeaway of the game late in the fourth.
We go under center. Driscoll tosses it outside to Strong. Gets a blocker. Breaks a tackle to the 40, 45, and then dragged down. He lost the football, too, and the Rebels might have this one. They do. Tanner Friend with the fumble recovery. And recovers it at his own 46-yard line.
Rebels head coach Corey Schweiss says this contest was as close as it could be.
The first half was really a well-played game by both teams, I thought. Both teams executed offensively, maintained drives. Defenses played well, bent, but didn't break. And it was a good first half. In the second half, both teams got a little lackadaisical, I think. It made some mistakes, didn't execute some plays, had some turnovers. But both teams did it.
Central now 6-5. Again, they advance to the district championship game and will look for its ninth consecutive district crown. They'll visit the Kennett Indians next Friday in a game that we'll cover on AM 800 KREI. Andy, you're going to have that one again. Kennett, much higher level of competition compared to Dexter. Central cannot afford to have the turnovers they had against Dexter because Kennett won't let them get away with it.
Well, yeah, they haven't faced each other yet, Central or Kennett, but they've had similar opponents, and, you know, both teams go way back. I mean, they know each other, and both head coaches know each other. Joel Wyatt on the other side for Kennett, and Corey Schweiss telling about how he's faced them in years past before. I mean, they fully expected Kennett to be there. So, I mean, they've been preparing for this ever since, I'm sure, the first week of the season. You know, that's probably going to be the team that's going to be there at the end. So, you're right, Central has to take care of the football. They have to make sure that they capitalize on every opportunity that they get. Going to have to go on the road for this one. It should be a tight contest.
Andy Humphrey will once again have coverage of the Central Rebels taking on the Kennett Indians this coming Friday night. Again, they defeat the Dexter Bearcats to get to that game by a final score of 13-6. It's the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington on J98. When we return, we'll break down the Coles Tractor and Equipment Web TV game where Crothersville knocked off Jefferson 30-7. That's coming up after this here on J98 The Boot.
Hi, this is Brad Smith at Lucas Smith Chrysler Center. Lucas Smith Chrysler is more than just your local Chrysler, Dodge, Ram, and Jeep dealer. We sell and service to the entire Jefferson County area. So while you're listening to this sports broadcast, no matter if it's the Tigers, the Hornets, the Blue Jays, the Lancers, the Dragons, or the Hawks, remember, we are and we support the entire Jefferson County area and its sports teams. We are Lucas Smith Chrysler Center off Highway A in Festus, your home of the No Bull Deal.
Home of the No Bull Deal. Lucas Smith Chrysler.
When life changes, where can you get the health care that you or your loved one needs? Try Presbyterian Manor, where we consider you family. Being a member of our family means having a skilled, compassionate team making sure you live your best life. Call 573-756-6768 today and schedule a visit to see why the community voted us the best independent living, best assisted living, and best skilled nursing community in the Parkland area.
When it's all said and done, what really matters? For Serenity Hospice Care patient Jack, hospice isn't about giving up. It's not about the end. It's about right now. It's about spending precious time with the people we love.
Come on, Grandpa!
And the little moments that create lasting memories. It's focusing on what's important to you and remembering life is beautiful in all stages.
Hi, this is Jamie with Patsy's Furniture in Park Hills. I'd like to take this time to say thank you to our local veterans. We appreciate and are so very thankful for your sacrifice. In honor of Veterans Day at Patsy's Furniture, we're having a Veterans Day sale. Everyone gets up to 50% off MSRP pricing, and all veterans receive an additional discount with proof of honorable military service now through November 12th.
You'll love to shop at Patsy's.
Patsy's Furniture in Park Hills.
It's the Colts Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable Show from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington on J98. We're here on a Wednesday night, not quite a Tuesday night like we normally are, to make some room for election coverage last night. So let's get to it. The Colts Tractor and Equipment Web TV game, Crothersville topping Jefferson 30-7. We knew this was going to be a tough game for Jefferson, Nick. You had coverage of this one, but yeah, I didn't think Crothersville would quite run away with this one to the extent that they did.
Yeah, you know, I think it would have been a lot closer had it not been for some errors by Jefferson, in which they actually started off with all of the momentum. I think early on into the second quarter that was still the case, and then fumbles really became an issue. You know, it was a cold night, so maybe that played a little bit of a part, and of course the defensive line of Crothersville has a lot of big dudes up front, and they kind of made it hard for Jefferson to run their normal offense. You know, they like to go to Graves and Ott and company with Ben Breeze as well in the mix, and they just really struggled to get those 4 yards at a time that Coach Rugley really likes to, you know, see them do.
You know, they say you can't coach speed. You can coach speed a little bit, fix things with people's form and such. Size is something that you can't coach, and that's the tough part with these Class 2, and, you know, we'll talk about it a little bit later on with Valley Catholic in the Class 1 District 1 championship game, but size is something you can't coach, and when you're with these smaller schools, you just have a smaller pool of players to really recruit from to go out for football, so when you face a team that's got a lot of size, you can run into some trouble.
No doubt about it, and the Jefferson offensive line specifically has a lot of experience on it, as well as the rest of the team. You know, this Jefferson squad was a pretty experienced bunch overall. But on that offensive line, like I mentioned before, you know, even with Crothersville having a bunch of sophomores that actually contribute, they're just, at the end of the day, bigger than the offensive line of Jefferson. So when Jefferson came out with a little bit of energy, maybe some adrenaline being at home and all of that, they were looking really good. But eventually that kind of runs out, and at the end of the day, physical, you know, gifts take over at times, and that's what happened for Crothersville.
So the Jefferson Blue Jays saw their season end Friday night as they fell at home in the Class 2 District 1 semifinals to the Crothersville Tigers by a final score of 30-7. Jefferson came out on their first drive with their hair on fire, taking up nearly 5 minutes of clock and punching it into the end zone with sophomore Colby Ott to take an early 7-0 lead.
Second and goal. Moon is going to hand off over right guard and into the end zone this time. It's Colby
Ott.
A touchdown for the Blue Jays on second and goal. And on the opening drive, Jefferson is in front 6-0.
Play of the game for the Jefferson Blue Jays. They would take a 7-0 lead following the point after. And, well, that's the play of the game because that's really where the big plays ended for the Jefferson Blue Jays.
Yeah, you know, you look at that description there that you just read, and that drive took up nearly 5 minutes. It was their first drive. And that 4 yards at a time that Coach Rugley talks about, it was really working in that drive with Breeze, with Ott, with Graves. And, of course, Ott was the one that scored that touchdown at the end of the day. Things were looking great for Jefferson early on, and it looked like at the very least we were going to see them compete till the end with Crothersville, at least from that first drive that we saw in quarter number one.
And, I mean, that's something against a team like Crothersville, again, a talented team. People say football is a game of inches. It's really a game of possession. If you don't turn the ball over, if you can control the clock by running it or short passes, you can dominate a football game. That's how you win. The other team can't score if they don't have the football. So if you don't turn it over and you don't give them the ball with short offensive drives, you're more likely to walk away the victor.
Exactly. And you just look at how Jefferson runs their offense. They don't throw the ball really at all. And they've got a backup quarterback in there, Tommy Moon, who took over for the starter, Brandon Perry, who got hurt earlier in the season. So it's imperative for them to control possession, not turn the ball over, because as we kind of mentioned earlier, if you have the ball late, you have the lead, you can run out the clock and you can get out of there with the victory. It just comes down to, can you limit the turnovers and can you keep possessions going for 4 or 5 minutes at a time? And as the game went on, Jefferson was more likely than not unable to do that.
So after the Blue Jays turned the ball over on downs late in the first quarter, things didn't go well for them. Crothersville went on a drive of their own and capped it off with a touchdown on the first play of the second quarter.
Russell will take the handoff himself. Russell breaks free. Russell is into the end zone for a touchdown.
Number 22, Devin Russell.
8 yards out,
Devin
Russell, the quarterback, gets six. He's in.
The Tigers would proceed to let their running game take over in the second half, led by sophomore quarterback Devin Russell, who put his team up 2 scores in the third quarter.
Russell on the fake handoff. He's going to keep it himself. The sophomore, there he goes, to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, stiff arm, and he's into the end zone. Colby Ott in pursuit could not catch up.
Devin Russell
brings it into the end zone. Caruthersville leads 20-7.
A successful two-point try made it 22-7 Caruthersville. So at this point, 22 unanswered for the Tigers. What was kind of the vibe for the Jefferson Blue Jays? The sideline and the fans in the stands a little bit? Were they kind of like, uh-oh, we're in trouble? Because, again, going back to what we were saying about Farmington, a run-first team will have trouble falling behind in these type of games.
Well, you know, the fans that showed up, they made a lot of noise, especially early on. But they know the team. They've watched them all season long, and they're aware of the fact that when you go down two scores, if you're Jefferson, first of all, to their credit, that hasn't happened a whole lot this season. They only had one loss going into that game, and that was to Pally Catholic, and we know how good they are. But second of all, just from a team, you know, it's the second half, you're down two scores and you run the football a whole lot, and the defensive line of Caruthersville is really starting to impose their will in that area. It was just hard to map out in your head the route that Jefferson could take to come back at that point, with Caruthersville scoring the 22 unanswered at that juncture and really just dominating in the trenches as well.
And things didn't get better for the Jefferson offense as they were pinned deep inside of their own 5-yard line. The Tigers forced a safety to put the contest on ice.
This road matchup, the first playoff road game for a lot of the starting sophomores on this team, with a victory. Out wide is Mudd. Another receiver out wide left looks like Wagner on 3rd and 8. From the 3-yard line. Back to pass is Mooney. Stumbles and he's going to be sacked for a safety. Football goes out of the end zone. 2 points will be added to the total for Caruthersville. And it is now 24-7.
Right there, 24-7, and that's the last thing the Jefferson offense could afford, is they need to put up points themselves, not afford points, and give the ball back to the Tigers offense. That's the last thing they needed to have happen in this game.
Yeah, in that situation, it was in the fourth quarter. You know, you need two scores, and you know it has to be kind of quick with maybe 6 minutes left in the game. And Caruthersville had just taken about 5 minutes off the clock. They drove all the way from their end down to Jefferson's end. And like I think it said in there, at about the 2-yard line is where that drive started for Jefferson. So they were already pinned deep. They were trying to throw the football. It just wasn't quite working out for them. And at that point, that's all you can do is throw the football. Running the football is not going to get you where you need to go. And just not a lot of experience throwing this season. Not a lot of experience being down, again, to their credit. And they just weren't able to dig themselves out of the hole.
Tigers reach the end zone one more time for a final score of 30-7. Jefferson, they see their season end just short of a shot at a district title with a final record of 9-2. Jefferson head coach Alex Rugley believed the difference in the game was turnovers and the physicality of Caruthersville's defensive line.
For about the first quarter and a half, we were 4 yards, 4 yards, 4 yards. Their defensive line, who is very big and very strong and very physical and fast, started to overtake us up front, and they started to impose their will on us. And, you know, it's one of those deals that our kids played extremely hard. We had two turnovers there late in the first half that were huge. You know, we turned the ball over 7 times all year, and we had 2 turnovers there, and really 4 bobbled snaps out of 5.
Coach Rugley was also very thankful for his seniors, headlined by superstar running back Andrew Graves.
Yeah, they mean the world to me. You know, I told them, I thanked them for everything that they've done for our program. You know, they came in with a lot of uncertainty because I was the third coach in 3 years. You know, it was a losing program. And they came in and helped us win 31 games. But I told them the most important thing is they're great people.
Caruthersville improves to 9-2 again, Jefferson. And they see their season end with a record of 9-2. Tough way for the Blue Jays to end the season, just shy of the district championship game. But it's been impressive for a program that is still one of the newer programs throughout the listening area.
Yeah, and Coach Rugley, you didn't hear it there, but we talked about it post-game, just the state of the program before he got there and what it's at now that he just finished up year number 4. You know, he just saw the first of his guys, quote-unquote, leave, you know, when he came here, the freshmen that are now seniors. And overall, despite the fact that they're going to be a much younger team next year, Coach Rugley has heightened the floor of what the Blue Jays can be. Basically what that means is they're not a losing team anymore. Even as a young team next year, they should see themselves have a successful season. They probably won't go 9-2 again, but even so, they've got guys that played a lot as sophomores and juniors coming back next year, despite the fact that you'll lose some the Andrew Graves, the Daniel McWhorters of the world. It's going to be tougher next year, but a great season for Jefferson and a great direction for the program under Coach Rugley.
Yeah, even though they're losing a great senior class again, Andrew Graves, one of the most talented players in the listening area, tough to lose him, but you know they've got a bunch of players coming back next year as well. I really think that if they do see a fall off, I don't think it'll be very much at all. Again, you know, you go 8-1 in the regular season, hard to really get much better from there. We'll take a break, and when we return, we'll be joined by the Fox Warriors, headlined by head coach Brent Tinker, and I think he brought about half his roster with him here to Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington. They topped the Sekman Jaguars 62-35 last week on AM 1400 KJF. Back after this on J98.
At Toyota, November is Govember. Everyone's raving about our amazing savings. Go explore in the versatile RAV4. It's built for adventure with cargo space for all your gear. Go road trip in the roomy Highlander. It's a family favorite with seating for up to 8. Go turn heads in the exhilarating Camry with style that captivates. Go enjoy the off-road in the Tacoma with available four-wheel drive. Or go high-tech in the sporty Corolla hatchback and pump up the volume. And as always, go safe. All these Toyota models and more come with an advanced safety system standard at no extra cost. Go to your local Toyota dealer today. Toyota value lasts, but these deals won't. Govember ends soon. Learn more at buyatoyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
See Twin City Toyota I-55 at the Herculaneum Auto Mall exit. Don't think twice. Think Twin City.
Whatever your educational goals are, you can achieve them at Jefferson College. With caring faculty, convenient locations, and award-winning academic programs, your future is Jefferson College's focus. To learn more, call 636-797-3000 or visit jeffco.edu for a complete list of degrees and programs. Enroll now.
For higher education, for higher expectations, Jefferson College, Jefferson College.
Matt Greenwood for J98, and on the mics tonight we have the Fox Warriors as they're going to go up against the Class 5 District 1 Championship against the Jackson Indians on Friday. And we just gathered here around the table here at Buffalo Wild Wings where they've got a new special on St. Louis Blues night. When the St. Louis Blues play, it's $20 beer and wings. That means a pitcher of beer. You can either choose Bud Light, Coors Light, or Miller Light. And then you get a bucket of 20 boneless wings. This is dine-in only, but a bucket of 20 boneless wings and a pitcher of beer for $20 when the St. Louis Blues play. That's a pretty sweet deal. And the Blues will be back on the ice against the San Jose Sharks. That'll be Friday night at the Enterprise Center. All right, let's talk some football because I think that's the fun part about coming on to this roundtable show. We've got several guys to introduce you to. We'll begin with I guess he's one of the running backs. There's multiple running backs for this Fox team, Cole Elwood. We've also got Bobby Nybert, quarterback Gavin McGinnis, and then left tackle, D tackle Chase Waters, as well as the center, Luke Joggerst. This team beating Sekman 62-35. So let's go ahead and start with our highlights here. It was a shootout, 62-35. Score speaks for itself. Fox's advantage, though, came very early on the first play from scrimmage. Sekman fumbled the football.
Lounsbury in the gun, about 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Drew Campbell, the tailback, ready to run, but the snap is high off the hands. Having to recover it is Lounsbury, and then it's stripped in the backfield, and the Warriors recover. McGinnis will take the snap, fakes a hand.
All right, so there you go, guys. Right out of the gate, Sekman kind of gave you a little gift there. Gavin, I'm sure you were probably thinking, I'm going to have to play a few snaps on defense, and then right off the bat, you have to go out there in the quarterback spot. Kind of take us through that first play, and you know, after the fumble happened, when you guys got the ball back, kind of what was going through your head?
After we got the fumble,
I mean, it was big for us, but like, we just keep calm and don't let the hype get to us, especially at the beginning whenever we still have a whole game to go.
And you guys on defense, it was kind of nice, I guess, to not have to really worry about stripping the ball, just kind of let Sekman do the work for you guys. When you saw that loose, when you saw the loose ball and you saw Lounsbury pick it up, which teammate got to the ball first and stripped it? Was that you, Waters?
Yeah, that was me.
All right, so Chase Waters got the strip, and who got the recovery?
Oh,
you did too. Okay.
I thought it was Joey.
No, I recovered.
It was Chase.
I thought it was JoJo.
Yeah,
That's Bob being wrong. sorry, Bob and I have a rapport here that we're just all – it's all kidding aside. Anyway, so yeah, Fox gets possession, and unfortunately they were stopped on a fourth down play. Braden Briggs came through the gap and was able to sack Gavin McGinnis, forcing a turnover on downs. And then the Jags eventually punted the football, and then that's when Gavin McGinnis and the Warriors took advantage.
McGinnis will take the snap, fakes a handoff, runs it through the B gap left side, and is able to trickle his way inside the 10 to the 5 and crossing the goal line for 6.
Highlight this section. And so there you go. Gavin McGinnis getting the touchdown. Extra point good. Fox up 7-0 halfway through the first quarter. Gavin, you got that first touchdown for your team at that point. Kind of what was going through your head?
It was all good. I mean, at that point, we're just letting the system do the work at the beginning and then just not worrying too much about anything else.
It was kind of cold and wet, and I was kind of thinking that Coach Tinker might have a few tricks up his sleeves on special teams because of the slippery surface. And I think I calculated about 5 onside tries, and I think you guys got 2 of them. When you guys were told by Coach Tinker that was sort of the game plan, hey, we're going to try some onside kicks, I'm sure all you guys are pretty much on board, huh?
Oh, sure, yeah. Absolutely.
How many reps did you have during practice, maybe this past week or throughout the season, doing those special teams kicks and making sure that your chances of getting the recovery there would be strong?
We did actually a lot of reps with the onside kicking with Jack, our kicker Jack. He's looking pretty good, and our coaches felt pretty confident in him, and he's definitely gotten better with his onside kicks and his lasers, that's for sure.
All right, that's Cole Elwood for those of you that don't recognize the voice there. So Fox up 7-0, Sekman again punted, and then 7 plays later, McGinnis gets his 2nd touchdown of the night.
Thomas lines up near side slot. Hastings behind the right tackle. Man in motion from left to right, Elwood. McGinnis with the quarterback keeper holds the football out as he crosses the goal line for another 6. Easy peasy for Gavin McGinnis. An 8-yard gain and a 13-0 lead for the Warriors.
Again, Gavin getting the touchdown there. Let's step away from the game itself here for a second and just talk about your season. You, along with Bob, 1,000-plus yards rushing. Sometimes you don't see that from a quarterback. Maybe at the high school level you see a lot more of it. But you and I spoke during training camp, and you knew right off the bat you were the starting QB. It was going to be on you to kind of get the offense going and keep it going throughout the season. And when I spoke to you and Bob and Cole, it seemed like you guys just had confidence exuding from you guys. I mean, you answered every question as if you knew you were going to be really good this year. So you get to this game, you're up 13-0 early on. Just kind of, did you really expect to be this good at, you know, going into the season? Like I said, the confidence was there for sure, but you're up pretty big early on in this district championship game. You have any thoughts during the game about kind of leading up to this point in the season?
I mean, we were all kind of expecting to be good because we work hard during the summer, and obviously we want to be this good, and we just put the work in, and then we keep our younger kids up and then push them so that we're all good.
And let's turn our attention to Luke Joggers. So I don't think he's said a word quite yet. Luke, you are the center for this team, and Coach Tinker was praising you before we came on, talking about how you're a very smart kid, and the center has to be the guy that knows everything that's going to be happening with the offense. So kind of take us through your experiences under Coach Tinker and how you developed into the center that you are.
Oh, yeah, it's been great. It's just working with the guys that we have. Like, I have a lot of trust in, like, all the linemen. Like, I really don't have to do a ton. Like, they pretty much know what they're doing for the most part. And also, like, Coach McKinney, he's been great. Coach Tinker, they've they've done a great job working with us and preparing us for the season.
Gavin, again, the quarterback for you guys. How has that relationship developed? Did it start a couple years ago? Was it sort of this year? Kind of how long have you guys been a tandem?
Actually, we started playing together in eighth grade, and really that's when it started.
Okay, so basically, I guess the relationship kind of comes naturally, doesn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, so you guys up 13-0, looking to be in a pretty good spot. And then as we go to the second quarter, the Jaguars made the call to action as quarterback Seth Lounsbury threw a 27-yard touchdown pass to Dylan Hawk in thrilling fashion.
Three-step drop. Lounsbury has time, looks right, fires left, all the way to the back of the end zone. Catch is made, and it's ruled a touchdown. Dylan Hawk with an athletic play just dragged the back heel of his right foot across the back of the end zone, secured the football, and a score for the Jags.
All right, so at that point, 13-6, Seckman gets the extra point. So it's 13-7 at that point, 9:25 left in the half. So much scoring still to go on. Seckman didn't score a touchdown against you guys last time you played him. You were able to beat him 49-0, and so here they are. They come out, and they eventually put up 35, but to see your lead sort of cut in half there and to see them go through that, get that touchdown. Cole, what was going through your mind as, the guy that's back there to prevent those kind of big plays?
You definitely can tell they did their studying and they did their film on us because they came out and they were ready to play. They were definitely ready to play for their last game. Like, it would be their last game. But, it was just a man-on-man. It ended up being a man-on-man with our backside corner. And he just made – the kid made a great play, a great throw back of the end zone. And, like I said, they did a really good job watching film, going over what they could do to score against us.
I think it was everybody's expectation when you see a score like that to kind of get that same result. But in district semifinal, things are a little bit different. Players are a little bit more on edge. They're more willing to go out and give 110% no matter what the cost is. Did you guys get that sense from Seckman going into that game throughout the week, or maybe just leading up during warm-ups, that they were ready to kind of go toe-to-toe with you guys?
Absolutely, yeah. A lot of the guys I talked to, we definitely knew they were going to come out and play. And we didn't take them lightly. We knew that they were the bump in the road, And we weren't looking past them. We were definitely going over them first and then on to Jackson next after that.
And obviously you guys, the touchdown didn't hurt you too much because very quickly you guys turned to Bob Nybert, as you have a lot this year. And he got a 59-yard run for a first down. And I'm sure Gavin was happy with this next highlight.
McGinnis under center, quarterback keeper goes to the line and stacked up, held up, but falls forward for six.
Was that a pretty accurate description of what happened in that big mass of bodies there?
Yeah, pretty much. I don't know whatever happens, really.
You just score and then you forget about it and move on, huh?
Yeah, pretty much.
I've gotten that sense about you. So at this point, 20-7 is the lead. You guys were able to get the onside or the extra point there. And then you go for an onside kick. And Coach, was that sort of the plan for you when you got a two-score lead to try to push it a little bit more and get try to get those onside kicks and extra possessions?
We came into it with the idea of being extremely aggressive. We knew we were going to have some onside kicks. We wanted to be really aggressive in every aspect of the game. So yeah, whenever we had the opportunity to score, we wanted to keep scoring. I have a lot of confidence in our offense, and I have a lot of confidence in our defense. And like you were saying earlier, a major tip of the hat to Seckman because they did a really good job mixing in some different schemes. And their quarterback named Seth Lounsbury has been a kid who's just battled for years now. He has he's had it fight through injuries. And, I'm really happy for him that he got to stay healthy and got to get that last game in because he played spectacular. I'm thrilled with our kids because we obviously we won the game. But Seth and the rest of those kids over there played real hard, and we wanted to be aggressive. The whole thought was actually if we can get the ball back, we thought we might be able to – my answers are always as honest as they can be. We wanted to score as often as possible and maybe – possibly get a running clock and maybe break their will a little bit early. But that didn't happen. Their kids fought back. Coach Baker does a great job, and they just kept matching us for a while there. So, you know, either way, these are things we have to practice. Onside kicks are a big part of the game for us. So, yeah, the plan was to be aggressive and to have confidence in our kids like it always is, put our kids in positions to make plays and win or lose behind them.
So basically you're kind of putting the pressure on Sekman to be like, hey, if you're going to go toe-to-toe with us, you're going to have to recover these onside kicks.
Absolutely. Okay. No doubt about it. And we felt like we had an advantage on the grass, on the turf out there. So we went after it, and we like that. We've been kind of developing that way a little bit more. And it's something we enjoy doing. You'll see a lot of that Friday night, I'm sure, from both teams this week.
All right, let's move on here. Again, the score 20-7. Fox goes for the onside kick. They recover it. That sets them up for a short field. And finally, Bob, after probably about 10 carries or so, he finally got into the end zone.
McGinnis pitches it right. Nybert tries to stretch it long, and he's tackled across the goal line. Yes, a 4-yard score for Bob Nybert. His 10th touchdown of the season. And the Warriors lead it 26-7. A fake handoff, late pitch to the right. Nybert bowls over the corner. No match for Big Nybert.
All right, I could tell the enjoyment, Bob, that your teammates got out of that highlight there. As soon as you got to the edge, you kind of knew you were going to score, huh?
Yeah, I don't think anybody one-on-one can tackle me, especially when in the end zone, like that close. I can at least get 4 yards on that. That's nothing.
You crack me up, man. After the extra point, you guys go up 27-7. There's still 6.5 minutes left in the half. I mean, this is just insane how easily you guys were scoring and how Sekman, you know, just kept battling back. And eventually Sekman, you know, they kept it close, guys. They got it down to a six-point lead or six-point deficit at the half after Dylan Hawk and Drew Campbell each got a 1-yard touchdown run. Either the defensive lineman or the secondary can answer this next question, but when you have that big of a lead, and you see Sekman starting to get into a bit of a rhythm, what's sort of the conversations like to eventually be like, all right, guys, this is what it's going to take to bring him down? All right, here comes Chase.
Pretty much, we just got to stop them. You know, they got momentum and they got rhythm, but we just got to come out there and play our game, and then, you know, whatever happens, happens.
In that first half, what did you feel was the toughest part of going up against that Sekman offense? Was it the O-line? Was it the talent on the edge with Hawk or the quarterback Lounsbury? Kind of what was giving you all some difficulties as the first half came to its conclusion?
Well, Chase, let me help you out with that one maybe. I think the best thing they were doing early on is they had some good kids. The Fritz kid, they were keeping our linebackers off balance with that counter coming back in there. And then they started doing a good job of getting their wings to our inside backers. So they did a great job of mixing it up. You know, but, you know, hearing Bob talk, apparently just nobody can tackle him one-on-one. I'm a lot less worried about Friday. I didn't realize Bob was that unstoppable. But I do appreciate his confidence. But, no, I think the thing there, guys, and what we talk about is just continuing to trust the system. We knew we were going to be aggressive going into the game. And we were, and like we ran a fake punt. We probably shouldn't have. I mean, I know that, but we were pretty determined to run it no matter what. It gave them the ball in a scoring situation at the end of the first half. But the confidence that the kids have right now, I mean, it's just they knew going into it that offensively we were going to score points. And then I think we kind of expected to play a little better on defense. But I mean, hey, Doug Baker did a great job, and those kids did a great job. That I think that Fritz kid on that wing counter was huge, picking up first downs in the first half. And then obviously Hawk made his plays, but the Lounsbury kid is always the one I go back to because I just, you know, he's the orchestrator of that whole thing. But I think they did a good job getting to our linebackers and then getting our kids to think about the counter and then react a little bit slower. They did a good job keeping us a little off balance. That's probably the best way to answer it. But the boys did a good job fighting back. They didn't get overwhelmed, I'll say, and I know they're not, maybe they're a little quiet right now tonight, but really there is no, they're not afraid under the lights.
Right.
There's no stage that's too big for them. They're very confident guys. I think they actually, this group of kids, They love big games. They enjoy big games, and no stage has been too big for them, and that's good because we keep hoping to move on to bigger stages.
Halftime speech is something we like to ask coaches about, especially in tight games like these, and especially the type of game that it is, a district semifinal championship on the line. And the reason why is because there's so much for you to go over. I would think there's so much for a coach to go over, whether it's from an X's and O's standpoint, or if it's from a, or if it's from, you know, just a mentality standpoint. But for you, what are some things that you keyed on when you talked to the boys up by six at the break?
I think everybody would be surprised about how tame halftime was. You know, things that we wanted to happen were happening. And then we just had to talk about basic reads and keys, going back to the counter, going back to stacking where you're supposed to stack and matching up on the option. Halftime was actually really, really good communication. It wasn't a lot of hollering or hooping or anything like that. We knew what we had done right and wrong, and we knew we had to fix it. And, you know, it was very calm, actually. I think we might disappoint people if they realize how calm halftime was and under control everybody seemed. Nobody was panicked, and that's, once again, like I talked about, with this group of kids right now, they just don't panic. They're a pretty mature group. We're pretty senior heavy. And halftime, we might have bored you a little bit at halftime. It was not what everybody would think, I believe.
Well, that's all right. I'm not bored by you, Coach. something we will definitely touch on a little bit later here as we talk about Jackson after we're done with this recap is y'all's resume based on the schedule that you performed and the teams that you played this year. Because I think it says a lot about how far you guys can go in these playoffs because of the tough competition that you went up against. And again, we'll dive into that here in just a little bit. But again, 27-21, Fox leading at the half. It's cold. It's the rain actually stopped, so that was nice. But it was still very wet and slick, and I'm sure the players and Coach Tinker could attest to that. But as we get the third quarter started, Fox gets a one-yard touchdown run from McGinnis, his fourth overall touchdown of the night, stretching the lead to 34-21. And then some magic happened for the Seckman special teams.
Taken by Reynolds, then hands it off Hawk as they cross over. Hawk cuts it back to the near side, 30, to the 40. The kicker to beat midfield, has the 40, sideline 30, to the 20, 10, 5, touchdown. Dylan Hawk, 80-plus yard kickoff return as Reynolds handed it off. Dylan Hawk did the rest as he danced around a couple of defenders around the 25 and then took off, got past the kicker, and scored six.
All right, so guys, it was a pretty big play for Seckman. You know, probably gave them great life, gave them great confidence that they're going to be able to come back, at least maybe tie it up or get it even closer. Whoever wants to step up to the mic for this question, I know you guys had tried this play earlier, and you know, same thing. You know, cross over, pitch it, try to, you know, get the special teams leaning to one side of the field, and then, you know, your blockers on the other side. So Seckman tries it, and they get it. Kind of, what were you guys thinking about the play, Cole? You raise your hand.
Standing on the sidelines, watching that unfold, definitely sucked. You know, not being out there, being able to stop it. But, it was kind of a slap in the face, you know, after we come out and score at the start of the second half. They're right back at us, you know, back on our toes. And I was running out there to kick off against their extra tempo point, and I was just like, dang, that really just happened. They returned one on us right back at our heels. So,
if you can put yourself in an outsider's perspective, it's a pretty exciting play.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
If you guys would have been, you know, successful full in yours, how do you think that celebration would have gone?
Probably similar to them. They were going pretty crazy. That kid's a great player, you know, and we have the kids like that too. And when we make plays, we're pretty excited. But for them, yeah, it's definitely a surprise. You know, they returned one on us, and it was a big touchdown for them.
You know, so, you know, there's a couple of points in this game where you guys are up 20, and then Seckman just keeps at it. They get back within six, and you sort of had that back and forth all the way through about three quarters, and then obviously you guys stormed through the fourth and were able to get separation there. But Seckman's not the first team to give you guys a good fight. But, you know, with the gravity of the game being a district semifinal with a championship on the line, did you guys still feel like, you know, you were going to be able to get that separation that you eventually did?
Yes, I did. I believe in our defense. They didn't have the best game, but I trust them. And I knew we just had a bad first three quarters, and we had to step up in the fourth, and we did. And offensively, I think our offense is pretty good. Our offensive line, they destroy the line of scrimmage. They control it. And then me, Gavin, and Cole, and then Chase Maxey, we're all pretty good. Well, none of us are selfish. We all will share the ball. We don't care who gets it as long as we're getting yards and getting first downs.
And so at that point, it's 34-28, and then you guys start your next possession on your own 27-yard line. And this is sort of an opportunity for you guys to kind of kill some clock, get that touchdown kind of late there, and see what happens. So, again, Gavin McGinnis is a beneficiary of a great long drive by the Warriors.
McGinnis with a keeper, splits the gap, ducks the shoulder, gets past the defenders to the 10 to the 5. Touchdown, Bucks Warriors. From 22 yards out, McGinnis, his fifth score of the night, his 17th of the season.
That's a pretty good run for you and a pretty big moment, Gavin, honestly, in the game. That put you guys back up 41-28. Kind of take us through your night. I mean, I think you wound up, setting a single-game record for a Fox football player, right?
I think he tied the record.
Did he tie it? Okay, yeah. For most touchdowns in a single game.
There was a young man named Levi Terrell back in 2008, 10 years ago, that we kind of ran behind all the way to the semifinals.
Okay.
And he was a heck of a player. So Gavin tied that, which is pretty cool, pretty good company to be in.
Well, and the thing is in the game, you're not thinking about that. But after the game, you know, someone says it to him and let him, you know, have his moment. Gavin, who was the one that broke that news to you, if you remember, that you tied the record?
It was Chase Waters, honestly, because during the game, he came up to me telling me what the record was. And at the time, I just didn't really worry about it because I just wanted to win and move on to the championship. But it's it's pretty cool to be able to do that.
Wait, so you're telling me that he told you during the game that you had a chance to get there?
At the end of the game, yeah.
Oh, at the end of the game. Okay. Oh, okay, I see. After you already got it, not after you got your fourth one. Okay, gotcha.
You know, to brag on Gavin for a second also, we scored 62 points because, I mean, he's done a great job of – you have to be a little bit selfish and then at the same time really disciplined in this offense. You know, he did that. He did a great job of letting the system dictate who got the ball. And it just so happened he had some great plays. And the better he plays, the better we are.
And a chance for you, Coach, to continue bragging on him. You know, we talked to Bob Nyberg because he clearly made the – I wouldn't say clearly, but he had a really huge impact on this game. You know, he was the guy that got
No one person could tackle him. He told you earlier.
He accumulated the most yards for you and set you guys up for those one-yard runs that Gavin McGinnis got. But – again, I alluded to it a couple of times throughout the broadcast and have, you know, since then. Two 1,000-plus yard rushers on this team. And you've got Cole Elwood, who's, you know, one breakthrough, you know, one broken tackle of the middle of the field from the 25-yard line away from being 1,000 yards, being a 1,000-yard rusher as well. But, I mean, I know you say it all starts with the offensive line, and we get that. But it also takes, you know, it takes open field, broken tackles, and all this and all that to kind of get to the end zone and get those yards.
Well, and I tell you what, nobody wants Cole to break that record more than I do. Maybe Cole, but, I mean, we want that. I definitely want him to have that 1,000-yard also. 3,000-yard rushers on one team is huge. And if Cole goes out and can put up big numbers on Friday night, that only helps us win. So that's the great thing about these kids. They're doing everything. They're accomplishing individual goals. Through the team approach, and that's the most spectacular thing about all of it right now. The high school has been a pretty fun place to be. You know, we've got, I'm sure we know what has complimented you yet now. You sat outside in a rainstorm. Our press box has been down.
Right.
And you guys came out there and you battled through some adversity on your own out there in our student section. You probably noticed them since you were sitting basically right there with them.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, they are... they've been spectacular. Our administration, I mean, all the way up to Dr. Whipke, our superintendent, you know, he's done just a spectacular job of building community and moving forward with our district. And all that stuff together has been huge. Dr. Sherp, our principal, Zach Brown's our athletic director. I mean, I want to brag on as many people as I can on the microphone, for sure.
I know you do.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of people. All right, so, let's get back to the game summary here. In case you lost your place, it's 41-28 at this point. And Bob Nybert, he's hungry for that second touchdown. Well, he's about to get it.
First down and goal from the six. Hand off to the right. Nybert monsters his way across the goal line and scores. Took it behind the right tackle. No defender touched him as he crossed the goal line from 6 yards out. His second score of the night. And the Warriors in command here, up 19 with 10:48 to go.
Bob, you don't shy away from being the workhorse on this offense. I think you actually probably bask in the ability to be able to do so. To get that second touchdown of the game, to put your team up 47-28 at that point, feeling pretty good?
Yes, I felt pretty good because I knew our defense wasn't going to let up that many, and I put a lot of trust in our defense. I think our defense is very good, and it was nice to get in the end zone again, but it was whatever as long as we scored.
And you and I spoke afterwards about earlier in the first half where I think you ran it 59 yards and set up Gavin McGinnis for a touchdown, and then I think it was the next possession or a couple of possessions afterwards, you ran it 45 yards downfield and then got that four-yarder to get that touchdown, that first touchdown of the game. And you just sort of thought that was the toughest time you ever had on the football field, trying to, run 45 yards and then getting the ball the very next play. But again, it seems like you welcome that on. And where did sort of that drive come from to be the guy that says, "Hey, I'll put the team on my back and I'm going to get you guys to where we need to be"?
I enjoy it. I like contact. I like being in the pile and just being able to push seven dudes on me at will and doing whatever. And I like the contact. I like being the workhorse. Really.
You know what? I'm going to add to that real quick. I think really what we have to do is we have to – our offensive coordinator and running backs coach, oddly enough, is Mr. Scott Nybert, and that's Bobby's dad. And I think that, when this whole thing started, I was bound and determined that Bob was going to be a spectacular guard. He was going to be an awesome offensive guard. And I don't know where I got that crazy idea from. I don't know how. But I really thought that was going to be Bob's future. I thought he was going to be a stud for us. And – we just couldn't find anybody who wanted to do that. We couldn't find anybody who wanted to play running back, believe it or not, because it was in our system. You're going to get hit a lot. And I finally kind of consented and said, let's just move Bobby over there and brag on that kid. He is a workhorse. He's a blue-collar superstar, if you will. Everything he's gotten has been earned, and he has done Bob's an underrated athlete, and I pick on him a lot, too. It's basically his fault. For a lot of reasons, but Bobby is that blue collar superstar at Fox High School. He just does everything we ask him to do, and we couldn't be prouder of him. And on top of that, that Nybert name's been around Fox for a long time, and it's great to see. It's great to see it for him and his family. I know his daddy's proud of him.
47-28 the score. You get the extra point. 48-28 the lead there. Lounsbury, again, as Coach Tinker has alluded to. I don't remember exactly the word you used, Coach, but essentially the motor behind the Sekhmet Madness, if you will. 75-yard touchdown run, that cut the deficit back to 13. All right, guys, again, this was the second time you were up big, and the second time, third time you were up big, and the third time it looked like Sekhmet might start making a run at you guys, and Lounsbury gets that touchdown to bring Sekhmet within 13. And I know time was starting to wind down, but you guys were probably, you had to be thinking, oh, this again. Were you, Luke?
Yeah, just a bit. I mean, they played a great game, came out and just played it, gave us their best, and we just weren't 100% ready for it.
All right. Well, hey, at least it's...
Yeah.
What do you... You got something to...
No, not really.
No? Okay.
Yeah.
You laughed about it, so I thought maybe you were going to comment.
No, no comment here. They, I just have to tip the hat to that kid. He played great. And, a lot of people don't know how much pain he's been playing through. And,
right, that's true.
Just a couple, they did a great job taking advantage of a couple of mistakes we made, and I feel like we were ready for it.
Right.
I just think we just didn't make plays when we had to make plays. So, that's the only reason I chuckle a little bit, because I feel like we were very ready to play that game. We missed a few more tackles than we needed to miss, but that's okay. Luke's going to make a lot more money than me down the road. If I play my cards right, I'm going to get – because Luke will end up being like a surgeon, I believe, and I'm sure I'll need some surgeries. So whatever Luke says is good. You know, Luke makes most of our team decisions. He's kind of our moral compass and our captain, one of our main captains on the team. So if Luke says so, then that's what it is.
All right, very well.
Yeah.
All right, so again, Sekman back within 13. We've got one more highlight for you. Gavin McGinnis tying the single game record in Fox history, tying Levi Terrell for most touchdowns in a single game. His 6-1, this one, the backbreaker.
McGinnis stretches it outside, crosses the 40, into the third level, midfield, 40, 35, 30, 20, 10. No one's going to catch Gavin McGinnis.
Yeah, no one caught you, man. You got into the end zone for your sixth touchdown. That moment, I'm sure, for you, it was quite special. This, of course, before you knew that you had tied the record. But at that point, with time winding down, that's sort of the dagger in the heart, the backbreaker, as I put it, for you guys. Talk about that play and the sequence of plays leading up to that, if you can remember that.
That play was pretty exciting. We were expecting to just milk the clock down before that play just to waste some time so they don't have any time more to score. But then I just broke through after just like letting the system do the work and all the blockers getting where they wanted to and just took off and hope nobody caught up to me.
Right. And you know, the thing about you guys and what I noticed a lot is the gaps up the middle. I mean, I've never seen so many wide open gaps, you know, in the middle of this offense. The O-line creates, you know, great gaps for Bob and for you, Gavin, and for Cole as well when he runs the football. And, Coach, I know you like to give off the names, but I'll give them here this time before I give you a little break here. But left tackle Chase Waters, left guard Austin Deering, of course the center with us here, Luke Joggers, and then right guard Joey Johnson, and the okay right tackle, according to Bob Nyvert, Alex Bruns, doing a lot of the blocking for you guys. And let's not just miss a wide receiver. So when you run plays outside the tackles, Coach, and try to get to the boundaries, Kate Thomas and Jake Pizzoni are guys that you rely on heavily to pick up some blocks. But I never saw so many gaps in an offensive line as many as I saw that night.
There's two things really for that, and obviously both of those go to credit the boys. They're smart and they're strong. You know, the whole concept of our program right now is supposed to be built on the premise of strength and wisdom, you know, and I believe that's kind of what we're kind of trying to be. We want to be really strong and really smart, and when you get both those things together like I think we have right now, with the system we run, good things happen. So, mm-hmm. Like, we've got some smart kids up front. We got some strong kids up front that have all bought into the weight room. Little Alex Bruns was supposed to be our tight end. But with JT Foran and a couple other kids kind of getting a little banged up during the course of the year, we got Alex in. You know, for a Class 5 school, having that 185-pound offensive tackle isn't always what you expect. But he's a strong kid. He's a tough kid. He's very aggressive. He has a great punch. And all that together makes him okay, huh, Bob? Yeah,
Bob's nodding his head.
Yeah, no doubt.
You got to turn into the play-by-play guy, Coach.
Yeah.
On radio.
What's that?
So you got to turn into the play-by-play guy if Bob's nodding his head.
Oh, yeah. No kidding. Bobby nods in approval. Yeah, probably wanted to talk more about how unstoppable he is, I'm assuming. Hey, Bobby's got that. He got humility just flowing off him, right?
Again, Coach Tinker always speaking the truth there. All right, so at this point, you know, game's over. 55-35, you guys add a touchdown. Sophomore Jahad Thompson. Spend a quick short minute on him and being able to get him to score there, Coach, at the end.
Yeah, it's actually what I really do is I need to thank these older kids because what they have done, and they're not perfect by any stretch, but what they have done is they have kind of drawn a little bit of a blueprint for how to do things. And we think we have a tremendous amount of talent coming back in the program. And, you know, we're not anywhere near being done by any stretch, but Jahad's an example of that. We wanted to keep playing all game. We wanted to be aggressive all game. So we get Jahad in there, who is a very talented young running back. He's a sophomore. We expect big things out of him. We get him outside on a little outside run there. He does a great job just letting his block set up and cuts into the end zone, showing a little bit of a glimpse of some of the future. Mm-hmm. It's not his turn yet, but it's going to be. at some point. Whether we're state champions or somebody gets the best of us, at some point it'll be his turn again. So we're very proud of that, and we kind of owe a whole lot of that to these old boys here. So very happy for Jihad, very happy for all those guys. We got great young kids coming up.
All right, so 62-35 at your final score. Fox advancing to the Class 5 District 1 championship against Jackson. Sekman had a historic season. Let's give them credit where credit is due. A 6-4 record, their first winning season in program history. Lots of credit goes to Coach Doug Baker for that. But Fox, they're on the move. They're 9-1. Again, they're going to be facing Jackson Friday night in the district championship game. All right, gentlemen, let's turn our conversation to Jackson. You've had several days to get a look at him. Coach Tinker has had several days to put together a game plan, which I'm sure he's probably still working on a little bit. But let's pull Chase in here real quick. Chase, you're the left tackle. Sort of what were some points of emphasis that Coach had you went over with you, or maybe your assistant coach or his assistant coach went over with you about this defense for Jackson?
You know, they're really good up front, and their linebackers are fast at the ball. So we're just getting really prepared for a lot of hustle from them to the ball. So,
all right, and Luke, you're the center. So again, right in the middle of everything. What have you seen about this D line? What are your thoughts on them?
Yeah, they're fast. They move pretty well. We're gonna have to beat them if we want to win this game.
All right, very well. I was like, wait, beat him if you're going to win. He meant beat him on the line. No, you're good. Took me a second. I'm not as smart as you. And then Cole and Gavin and Bob, whoever wants to jump in first, you guys are the guys that get the rock. You know, you're the ones that follow the blockers and get the big yardage because of this offensive line. Obviously, you know, you guys are going to probably be looking more on game film at the second level, third level kind of guys that you'll sort of spot and be like, all right, let's avoid this guy, or maybe I go through this guy, or, you know, that sort of thing. Kind of your early thoughts on the Jackson, you know, linebackers and secondary, as everybody points to Gavin McGinnis to answer first.
Yeah, we don't really put too much focus into them at the moment, because for our offense, it's just a little like 4 or 5 yard gains, so we mainly focus up front, and just us three and Chase Maxey, who's our other running back, we just mainly put all our trust into the linemen, and as long as they get their blocks and we break through, we're able to make our moves and then hopefully get more yards and score touchdowns.
Okay, very well. Now a point to Cole. Let Cole answer this question. Sort of your thoughts on what Gavin just said about just sort of focusing on the D-line first and relying on your offensive line to get the blocks for you. You want to add anything to that?
Yeah, it's definitely, we look at the defense we're going up against level at a time. You know, we got to read the D-line. We got to block them first, you know, get some of our alignment to the next level. And, yeah, our running backs just got to run hard, follow the blocks, cut off them in the right angles. And there is some skill involved, so you got to get some extra yardage after those blocks do the work for you.
Now, you guys are all seniors, right, Coach? They're all seniors,
yeah.
all the ones you brought with
us? We only brought the old men tonight. We only brought the old guys.
This Jackson team, you look at the record, they're 10-0, unblemished record. You guys have one loss, but it was a very tough loss against a very, very tough opponent. That was to Hazelwood East, and that was a pretty tight contest throughout. I believe that one kind of came down to the wire. But this Jackson team, if you look at the record and you look at the stats, they're going to be they probably are the most complete team that you guys are going to go up against this season. As seniors, what would it mean for you to I know the end goal is state champions, but you got to get the district championship first. What would it be like to knock off a powerhouse like Jackson?
I think it would be awesome to knock them off. I'm excited. Everyone at the school is excited. The fans, everyone. The student section, they're going to be excited. We're excited. We can't wait for this game.
Anybody else?
Seniors? Yeah, it's definitely been a very look forward to game. We've been keeping track of the record all year. You know, we definitely paid them respects because they have blown out all their opponents. They might not have had as tough of a schedule, but you do got to pay respect when it's due. They are great. They're a great spread team. They're high tempo, and they do well.
All right, very well. And now let's get to your guys' schedule, and then we'll wrap up this segment here with Coach Tinker's overall thoughts on this matchup. Three of the teams that you guys beat this year are in the are in their very own district championships, championship games. Festus is in their district championship game. They're going to be going to West Plains. That game's going to be on KJFF. Hazelwood East is in their district championship game against MICDS, a team that Central is very well aware of it when it comes to postseason play. And then you also beat Rockwood Summit, a team that you guys had to overcome, a team that previous Warriors teams had not been able to really truly beat. And you guys were able to beat them 22-19. They're also in their district championship game. You had to come from behind against a Marquette team that unfortunately lost in the semifinals, but they put up a 6-4 record this year. So really, you look at the opponents that you guys played. You beat Seckman twice. You beat Northwest once. All around, coach, or players, whoever wants to answer this, you guys have faced some of the best competition this year. How do you feel how do you feel that gives you an advantage going into this game against Jackson?
I think it helps us just because we've been in these close games in the fourth quarters. We know how it's going to happen. We know what we know what to expect. They haven't really been into a game into the fourth quarter from their scores. They haven't really had to fight in the fourth quarter and scrap into the very last second of the game.
And then I think for us also, like, I know for a lot of us, the bigger games we have performed the best in. And I just know, like for me, if I put myself into pressured situations, it's like you just perform better because you want to do better and then just hope you come out on top.
And like you said, Coach Tinker, these guys are not intimidated by anyone. And so, you know, confidence as high as it can be for you guys, Jackson's going to put that to the test.
Sure, there's no question, you know. That's the safety and the security we have right now, and knowing who we are and knowing what we do. I think there's no question about it. Jackson's a spectacular football team. Brent Eckley does a great job. He's one of the more respected coaches in the state. That community of Jackson, actually just like the very similar to the community of Farmington here where we're at tonight, very supportive, very like the boys and I were actually talking about that on the way down, the difference between playing in like the metro area and the difference in playing in a town. And it is a little bit different. I believe that when you play in a town like that, you have a lot of heritage, a lot of grandpas and dads that played for the Jackson Indians, and we're going to have to overcome all that. They're going to play with tremendous pride. They're going to play tough. They're going to play great. Same way our kids are. We're going to play with pride. We're going to play as hard as we can. We're going to let the system do what it does. We're going to line up. We're going to read. We're going to key. We're going to play hard. I truly believe that there's no stage that is too big for these kids. I don't believe the lights can ever be too bright. If somebody's going to beat us, it's not going to be because we got nervous in a big game. We're going to take care of the ball. We're going to make good decisions. And we're going to show up ready to play. You know, that's just kind of who we are. You know, it would have been nice to be able to host the game, you know, to bring a big game like that to Arnold. But the way the points, I think we're 3/100ths of a point below them in the district standings. And we're thrilled. They got a beautiful stadium down there. They know how to do Friday nights really well. So we're gonna be great guests. They're gonna be great hosts, and it's gonna be a spectacular battle. I'm just kind of excited for the entire thing. I'm excited for our boys to be able to get on the bus. We actually went ahead and we're gonna get a charter bus just so we can feel like rock stars for a little bit. We got a charter bus. We're gonna drive down there in a little bit of comfort. You know, our parents have been raising some money and doing some really good things. So we're gonna drive down there. We're gonna be comfortable. We're gonna get a good meal in. And we're going to go out, and I believe we're going to play the greatest game we've played all year. And that's all we can ask for. And we absolutely are good enough to win. And they are absolutely good enough to win, too.
Right.
So it's just going to be who plays the best and who does the most good things. And, you know, really, high school football around here just keeps getting better. You know, you see these in small towns and in the metro areas, everything just keeps on getting better. And I'm excited to be part of it. I know these kids are excited to be part of it. It's going to be, I don't know how many people will be there, but I'm expecting a pretty big crowd.
Right.
I'm really hoping for some really cold weather. I'll take some snow. We'll take any kind of rain we can get. If the elements can be our advantage at all, we'll certainly take it.
The great equalizer, as a lot of coaches will say.
It can be. So, we're excited to play. I'm proud of this group of kids. They are not perfect, but neither am I. And we're going to be one tight knit group of people. Like I said, Our administration at school right now, they have buses coming. We have they call themselves the tribe. That's our fans. We've got a couple different bus signups. Zach Brown and all those guys I brag on. We got assistant principal Joe Salzman at the high school who is he's actually really spearheading a lot of the organization of this thing, getting more people down to the game. I really think Arnold's going to travel pretty well. And we know Jackson's going to be there. Right. So they love their Friday nights, and we're excited to go give them a good shot. And hopefully we can play the greatest game of our year, which we want to do every week, and come out victorious. And we truly believe we have the ability to do it. And we respect the heck out of our opponent and know what's going to take our best game to beat them. But it's week 12, right?
Yeah.
At week 12, you're not going to get anybody
week
else.
Week 11, I think.
No, right? It's 12 for sure, right?
10, we had
it's 12.
No.
We had a bye.
Well, it's week 12 in the season, though. Yeah. It's our 11th game, but it's week 12 of the season.
True, that's right. Jack, yeah. You both had a bye.
Yep. So
there you go, Coach.
Wait,
apparently, hey. I'm the dumbest one here.
No, I talked to you. What was it, last week I talked to you? And I couldn't figure out what month it was.
Right.
But hey, it's November football. Hey,
it's age, guys. It's age. It's getting older.
Hey, it's November football, and we're playing it. So, like, we're pumped to be there. We can't wait to keep doing it. And I hope everybody gets out and comes and watches. I really do. I hope anybody in our community or anybody locally, maybe your team's out, come on down to Jackson. They'll charge. We know the Misha sure needs that $7 from you. They need that gate so they can keep on doing all the Lord's work they're doing. But we can sure use some more people down to watch that game. So please come on out if you're bored.
All right, guys. That'll be it for this segment. I appreciate you guys coming on. Best of luck against Jackson on Friday.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you.
All right, that is Chase Waters and Cole Elwood, as well as Luke Joggers, Bob Nybert, and Gavin McGinnis joining us here on the Coles Tractor and Equipment Roundtable Show. And our great thanks to Coach Tinker as well for coming on and bringing some boys down here to talk about Fox football on J98. Again, we're at Buffalo Wild Wings, and whenever the St. Louis Blues play, you become a winner even if the Blues don't. $20 beer and wings. It's a pitcher of beer plus a bucket of 20 boneless wings, dine-in only, but you get all that for just $20. And what a great steal for you. Next Blues game is going to be Friday at Enterprise Center against the San Jose Sharks. We'll come back in just a few short moments, and we'll come back with our play of the week. Who is our play of the week winner? And then down the line, we'll have athlete of the week, Festus Max McDaniel, first in state. That story available at MyMoinfa.com. And there's going to be a little preview of Friday night's district games. Again, Valley at Hayti on J98, Central at Kennett on KREI, and then Festus at West Plains on KJFF. So we'll get to all that stuff. And then, of course, Mizzou football and NFL pick-ems. It's the Coles Tractor and Equipment Roundtable Show on J98.
Certificate from Mineral Area College can pay you dividends. It's why we've been serving the surrounding community since 1922. Studies consistently show people who get an education after high school still earn a lot more in their lifetime. Show yourself you care. Invest in your education. Check MAC out at mineralarea.edu or call us at 573-431-4593, because MAC is your next step.
It's time you try Little Caesars and Herculaneum's Extra Most Bestest Pepperoni Pizza for just $6.55. It's wall-to-wall with delicious pepperoni. Or how about their Ultimate Supreme for just $9.99? Also, check out their great-tasting wings, crazy bread, cinnamon crazy bites, and so much more. And don't forget Little Caesars' mouth-watering dipping sauces. That's Little Caesars, just off 555 at the Herculaneum exit. And be sure and use the Little Caesars app so you can pick up your order when you walk in.
Hi, I'm Reggie Aubuchon, owner of Bryant Restoration. We'd like to invite all St. Francis County first responders, including police, fire, and ambulance, to our first annual St. Francis County First Responders Luncheon on November 14th. The free lunch will be held from 11 to 1:30 at the Bridge Community Church in Leadington. To RSVP for this event, visit our Facebook page, at Bryant Restoration Co., and register through the event link. Thanks again to all first responders from our team at Bryant Restoration, and we look forward to seeing you on November 14th.
Are you ready for an exciting new career that offers job security, flexibility, and independence? Rankin Technical College in Perryville is now accepting student applications for a 10-week CDL training class. The Gilster Mary Lee Corporation will provide the necessary funding for program training if your application is approved. You'll receive a benefits package which includes miles paid by the hub, paid downtime, unloading allowances, vacation Christmas and holiday bonuses, plus insurance. Call Mike Welker today at 800-851-5371.
Mario's Italian Farmington serves the best Italian food in the area. Pizza, pastas, calzones, strombolis, salads, and sub sandwiches. Huge large portions with the freshest ingredients. Get Mario's full menu online at mariositalia.com. You'll be satisfied with all the choices Mario's has to offer. Dine in or have it delivered or have them cater your next special event. Open 7 days a week, serving lunch and dinner. Mario's Italia, located in the factory at the corner of 1st and A Streets in downtown Farmington.
It's the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington. Let's take a look at the play of the week from Week 11.
There's the snap, and it's a fake as they toss it. Dawson Day running with it to the 10, to the 5. Is he in? Yes! Touchdown Central! A fake field goal, and they run it in. Dawson Day with the touchdown, and we're tied 6-6 with 11:52 to go in the half.
There we go. A special team score, fake field goal for a touchdown for Week 11's play of the week. Other ones throughout the season, Royce Harris, a punt return for a touchdown in Week 1. Seth Lounsbury had a long touchdown for the Sekhmet Jaguars in Week 2. A Sizemore had a touchdown run for Hillsborough in Week 3. Grant Staffen had a pick 6 for St. Genevieve in Week 4. Andrew Graves outran the opposition for a touchdown in Week 5. North County's Jalen Reed had a 99-yard fumble return for a touchdown in Week 6. Week 7, Clay Snudden had the game-winning touchdown from Briar Fisher. Week 8 was Sooner. St. Genevieve, the reverse pass that Oklahoma used in the Rose Bowl. Back to quarterback Logan Gegg. And Week 9, the play of the week was a 4th and 15. Festus reverse to Jaden Rystrom for a touchdown. Week 10 was Royce Harris with an option touchdown for him on the season. The scoreboard now sits Matt, Chad, and Andy each have 3, and Nick and I finish with 1 apiece. The athlete of the week for this week brought to you by Parkland Health Mart Pharmacy, the played forward athlete of the week, Max McDaniel of the Festus Tigers. Congratulations to him. Finished 1st in state, 4th in state his freshman and sophomore years, 2nd in state just a year ago, but this past weekend took 1st place in the state of Missouri. So congratulations to Max McDaniel. Let's preview the week that we have coming up. Only 3 games will be on the air. The first one on a G98, Valley Catholic at Hayti. Valley is a tough team. They've been battle-tested for years now, but this is going to be the toughest opponent they'll face all season and probably the toughest player they may face at any point this season, no matter how far they go through the playoffs. Ivory Winters, who is bound for Indiana, a 3-star running back, former NFL running back, now the running backs coach in Indiana. Mike Hart was the one that recruited him. And this guy, Ivory Winters, great athlete to begin with, and he's bigger than everyone else on the Valley Catholic team. They don't have a player that sits at 200 pounds on Valley. Over 200 pounds is the running back for Hayti. They run a spread, so it's going to be a tough offense that Valley Catholic is going to be facing. Meanwhile, on AM 800 KREI, Central is visiting Kennett, and you're going to have coverage of that game. Central, we were talking about it before, cannot afford mistakes against this Kennett team because Kennett will bury them if they do commit those mistakes.
Well, they've done it all season long. Kennett's really thrived on that. Kennett, 8-1 this year. The only loss was to a team from Arkansas. So against teams from Missouri, they are undefeated this year and obviously a tough team. Central's been waiting for them, though. They have gotten better, I think, over the last few weeks. They still need to fine-tune a few things. You mentioned protecting the football. That's been an issue the last couple of weeks. They need to make sure that they don't make those mistakes, as you mentioned. But I think the running game, if it establishes itself early for Central and they come into Kennett and they try to get out to a hot start, I mean, anything can happen. And I think Central is more experienced for this stage as well. And that can also play into the Valley game also. Valley is used to getting to the district championship year in and year out. Hayti, maybe not so much. Central, on the other hand, they've got more experience at this stage of the playoffs than Kennett does. That might play into it, and if it does, favor Central.
That's the thing. They've been there before year after year after year after. It's ingrained in these players that they make it this far in the season year in and year out. And one final game throughout the listening area. Fox, they go on the – or excuse me, one more game that we're going to be covering throughout the area. I almost skipped right over is, Nick, you're going to be on KJF this weekend, and it's going to be Festus taking on West Plains on the road.
Yeah, it's a similar story that Andy just described with Central and Kennett. You know, Festus is going in as the underdog against West Plains, and the key for them is going to be do what they've done as far as running the football the last couple of weeks in districts, rely on a stable of backs and keep everybody energized, and hopefully that'll lead you to victory. And also, in addition to that, if you get the lead, you have to make sure that you extend it, make sure that you don't rest on your laurels, so to speak, and mistakes have to be limited as well. Those are some of the keys for Festus going up against a West Plains team that has not lost all season long and has not surrendered a single point so far in district play.
And finally, that one final game that I was mentioning before, Fox, you just heard from them, they're taking on Jackson on the road. Before we move forward, we want to remember those we lost in memoriam.
Proud of our team.
Put on your pirate costume and join Captain Hook and his friends on November 17th at the Festus Quality Inn for the YMCA's annual dinner auction. Proceeds from the auction provide services to folks in the Jefferson County community, regardless of their ability to pay. Buy a table and bring your friends, or purchase individual tickets. For information about the auction and the Jefferson County Family YMCA, call 636-931-9622. That's 636-931-YMCA.
Parkland Health Mart Pharmacy is excited to announce that our Deloge store is now open in our new location at 1131 North Deloge Drive between Specs Optical and O'Reilly Auto. Our new home will also include a full-service UPS store opening soon for all of your print, ship, and mail needs. Join us for our grand opening on Wednesday, November 28th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Our friends from Smoky Valley Barbecue will be offering lunch for purchase, and you can register to win some awesome prizes. Ribbon cutting will be held at noon. We will see you then.
The St. Vincent Indians, who end their season with a record of 5-6, and the St. Pius Lancers, who finished the season at 8-3, led by head coach Jerry Woods.
Great group of seniors that did everything we asked. Even at the end of the game, that they poured their hearts out to everybody, and then we ended up laughing together. So, just a great group of seniors.
The Potosi Trojans, who see their season come to a close with a record of 5-6, and the Sekman Jaguars, who end 2018 at 6-4, behind head coach Doug Baker.
Year two, you know, we went 1-9, and you maybe, oh, this ain't gonna work, and they stayed faithful. They continue to buy into the vision that we as a staff kind of kept pushing to them, and to have the season like they had, it couldn't be more deserving to a group, a great group of young men.
The Jefferson Blue Jays, who went 9-2 in 2018, behind head coach Alex Rugley.
The most important thing is they're great people. They become better. They became better from this game. That's why I love this game so much, because it makes you a tougher and stronger person that hopefully, and I believe, will help you later on in life. And that's what it's all about. They made memories this year that'll last them a lifetime. And to me, that means everything.
And the Farmington Knights, behind head coach Eric Krupe, end 2018 with a record of 7-4.
That's one thing, is there were a lot of young players that played. You know, there's a lot of youth in the program, and looking forward, we'll take some time off, we'll have a little breather, but then when it comes getting after it and getting it to 2019, there's a lot of nice pieces to work with.
Those are the teams that we lost in week 11 of the high school football season.
So now we'll take a look forward with Mizzou football, coming off a strong victory. The first victory, I believe, that Drew Locke has had over a ranked opponent, 38-17, topping Florida. Andy, a good victory for the Missouri Tigers. I was a little surprised after the loss to Kentucky. I thought maybe the wheels are falling off the wagon, but they really impressed. It wasn't even like it was a close win. They looked really good in this game.
Well, biggest win of the Barry Odom era. I mean, the first time
in the Drew Locke era.
Yeah, well, I mean, pretty much the same thing.
Yes.
I mean, almost. But still, I mean, that's the first time Barry Odom's beaten a ranked team, and extra impressive to do it on the road, extra impressive to do it against the defense that Florida had. That's really the thing that they had hung their hat on all season long. And Drew Locke, historically, had struggled against those kind of defenses. He put up an impressive week and ended up being named SEC Co-Offensive Player of the Week A really great showing from Drew Locke. It showed because they got Emmanuel Hall back. And now that they have their full complement pretty much of wide receivers, they've got Emmanuel Hall, they've got Nate Brown, they've got Jalen Knox, they've got Rashad Floyd. Albert Okwuegbunam, the tight end, is really starting to show why he is an NFL prospect to be considered also. I mean, really nice win. And, yeah, we were thinking that this team was heading towards 6-6 after, you know, the week that they had against Kentucky, a team that, you know, Mizzou really should have put away at the end but did not. And now things are looking up. Now they can finish 8-4, and they really should finish 8-4 with the final three teams on their schedule at the moment. It's Vanderbilt at home. You go on the road to Tennessee, maybe the toughest one there, and then an Arkansas team that has not done very well this season is going to go to Columbia. And I think it does have to be three straight wins. If it's one loss, it's not the end of the world for Barry Odom, but it's still a little bit troubling. You want to see 8-4.
And unfortunately for Mizzou, you got to wonder if their little falters these past few weeks may have put them in enough of a hole where they're not going to get into maybe not one of the big bowl games, you know, certainly not the college football playoffs, but they may now, if they do make a bowl game, fall into one of those insert sponsor name here bowls that outside of the fan bases no one really watches.
Well, every bowl is that now, Sean. Every bowl is sponsored by two different entities, and then you throw a name on it. But, I mean, Drew Locke said it himself. After the game against Florida, he said this is the best 5-4 team in the country. I mean, they should be 7-2 with how they have closed out some of these games. At South Carolina, they lost in outrageous fashion. And then at Kentucky, or home against Kentucky, another game that really should have gone Mizzou's way. And the only two losses that they should have on their schedule at the moment are at Alabama and home against Georgia. That should be it. But, you know, 5-4 is what they're at. The best they can do is 8-4. I mean, you're right. There are a lot of missed opportunities. You look back at that and you think, man, what could have been? But you do feel good about this victory. It turns your season around, and it guarantees Barry Odom another season.
And speaking of Barry Odom, he was proud of his team's effort.
Proud of our team on the effort that they played with, on the execution that they played really from start to finish. I thought there were a number of individual performances that stepped up that at the beginning of the week, you didn't know, you know, you never know how it's going to play out exactly. Or who is going to make the plays during the times you need them to make. But, you know, individually guys stepped up either because of injury or because it was their number was called, and they played really well.
Mizzou hosts Vanderbilt on a Saturday with an 11 o'clock kickoff, 9 o'clock pregame on AM 800 KRI and AM 1400 K. Jeff. Again, Andy, like you were saying, compared to the earlier portion of the season, the rest of the Mizzou season, they should cruise through it. But how often have we sat there?
Never know.
How often have we looked at a game and said, Mizzou should win this one handily, and they don't.
They were favored 6.5 points at home against the number 12 team in the country in Kentucky, and then they blow that one away, and you just never know with this team. There have been so many ups and downs this year. I think the players are a little bit queasy, but, you know, that's just the way it's been.
So now we'll go right from Mizzou into some NFL pick'em right now, and we'll take a second, actually. We'll take a little bit of a break so we can get the players to rejoin us and get their sheet as well. NFL Pick'em coming up on the backside of this break here on the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington.
Investing in a degree or certificate from Mineral Area College can pay you dividends. It's why we've been serving the surrounding community since 1922. Studies consistently show people who get an education after high school still earn a lot more in their lifetime. Show yourself you care. Invest in your education. Check MAC out at mineralarea.edu or call us at 573-431-4593, because MAC is your next step.
Josh Harris on the line from Midwest Sports Center, Highway 67 in Farmington. And Josh, for folks getting ready to go out and get that 30-point buck, they need to stop by Midwest Sports Center first, don't they?
That's right. You know, we make the life a little easier. If you're working or hunting or playing, whatever you're looking to do, you know, we've got the ultimate side-by-side ATV or motorcycle for you. Stop by and see us at 124 Walker Drive in Farmington, right next door to Redfield Collision Center.
That's Josh Harris with Midwest Sports Center. They're off Highway 67 in Farmington.
Are you or a loved one facing the thought of having to move into a nursing home because you're no longer able to care for yourself or your loved one at home? Consult with Community In-Home Services in St. Genevieve before you do anything. They provide in-home care to seniors and the disabled to keep them in the comfort and familiarity of their own home. So give them a call at 573-883-8997 to set up an appointment or visit them at 1010 St. Genevieve Drive, Community In-Home Services in St. Genevieve, serving you and yours since 2002.
For generations, Massey Ferguson has been more than just a name in the field. Like Fliggs Equipment, it is a name that has been trusted and withstood the test of time. Hi, I'm Clarissa Nagger. Jason and I would like to invite you to stop by either of the Fliggs locations and test drive for yourself the brand new Massey Ferguson tractors on the lot. From compact to full-size machines that can do work on your biggest plantation, Fliggs Equipment, proud to be your full-line Massey Ferguson dealer. Fliggs Equipment, let our family serve your family. St. Genevieve, Ledington, and online at Fliggs.com. For generations, Massey Ferguson has been more than just a name in the field. Like Fliggs Equipment, it is a name that has been trusted and withstood the test of time. Hi, I'm Clarissa Nagger. Jason and I would like to invite you to stop by either of the Fliggs locations and test drive for yourself the brand new Massey Ferguson tractors on the lot. From compact to full-size machines that can do work on your biggest plantation, Fliggs Equipment, proud to be your full-line Massey Ferguson dealer. Fliggs Equipment, let our family serve your family. St. Genevieve, Ledington, and online at Fliggs.com.
KTJJ Farmington, Festus Crystal City, St. Genevieve. The Boot.
Hey, it's the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable from Buffalo Wild Wings in Farmington. Back one final time this season for fun, a little NFL pick'em. The way the standings sit right now, Nick is still sitting in first place with 64.07% of his picks correct. I surpassed Chad in second place, separating from the tie with 63.7. Chad is right behind me, though, 62.96%. The players have now jumped the coaches, 59.22%. The coaches right behind him, 58.52%. Matt Greenwood has 56.3% of the picks correct. On Twitter, you can vote if you guys like on MIMO Info, at MIMO Info Sports, 52.59%. You guys have been nailing, and old Andy fell below 500 as he's been flipping a coin, I believe, since week three of the season, 48.89%. So hopefully Andy can finish up on a strong note. We are rejoined by Cole Elwood and Bob Nybert of the Fox Warriors, and now let's dive in with Thursday night football, Carolina at Pittsburgh. I actually had such a tough time with this one. I didn't check off one team, and the difference for me is going to be home field advantage, so I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers in this one over the Carolina Panthers, although they've been red hot. Chad has his Pittsburgh Steelers as well. Nick, which way are you and Matt going?
I'm going with the Steelers, and it's funny you say it like that because Matt and I just found out basically have the exact same picks except for his weekly tie pick, which will come a little bit later. But anyways, we both have Pittsburgh.
Good tease.
Look at that. Unoriginal.
Unoriginal.
Here's original right here.
Flipping a coin. Flipping he a caught coin. It this time. That's original.
We're going with Carolina.
Carolina for the coin. And which way
for,
is...
for Coach Tinker.
Coach Tinker is Pittsburgh. Yeah. Which way are you guys going?
Carolina.
Carolina. All right. So now we turn to the Sunday games. Detroit is at Chicago. I really like the Chicago Bears. Their offense has been really getting going over the last few weeks, too, to match that defense. Give me over Chicago over Detroit, who just traded away Golden Tate. Nick, which way are you and Matt going?
We will take Chicago. I think the Bears have been, at times, one of the better teams in the NFC. They've got a couple tough losses on their resume, but we're going Bears.
And Andy?
Bears for Coach Tinker. Let's see what the coin says. Well, first drop. All right, here we go. It's going to
– first of many throughout the night.
Here we go. All right, Chicago.
Chicago Bears. Even the coin knows better than to pick against that Bears defense. Now we turn to New Orleans.
Come on.
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. It's week 11. I should know by now. Players, which way are you guys going? My mistake.
We went to Chicago.
Chicago Bears. All right. Now we have New Orleans is visiting the Cincinnati Bengals. I think this is one that we can pretty much go all the way around the horn here. I'll start with you guys with left players. New Orleans?
Yeah, sure. They're unstoppable on the offense lately.
And good offensive season for New Orleans. We'll turn back here while Andy tries to learn how to flip a coin. Nick, what you got in Matt?
Matt and I have New Orleans. Cincinnati doesn't have A.J. Green right now, so we'll go Saints.
And
New
Andy?
Orleans for Coach Tinker. Yeah, New Orleans, definitely the better team. Cincinnati's winning, though. Let's go.
That's what the coin says, Cincinnati. Atlanta is at Cleveland. Atlanta just got Bruce Irvin, actually. He was waived by the Raiders. And Coach Gruden sitting there saying it's hard to find good pass rushers. Yeah, when you trade them and put them on waivers, it is hard to find good pass rushers. So give me the Atlanta Falcons over the Cleveland Browns. Which way are you going?
Yeah, you know, Matt? Bruce Irvin or no, Matt and I are both going with the Falcons.
With the Falcons. And which way is Coach Tinker going?
We're going with Atlanta for Coach Tinker.
I caught it. You're welcome.
You caught me. You caught it there. All right. Thank you very much for saving a little bit of time there.
This is why I've been suggesting going digital with the coin.
We're going with Cleveland. We're not going to let technology corrupt this, Sean.
Cleveland. There is no such thing as corruption with a digital coin.
Oh, sure there is.
Players, which way are you guys going?
Yeah, we got Atlanta. Julio.
I think Cleveland's going to throw up a good fight, but Atlanta's, I feel like, just got too much talent there.
Yeah, Atlanta Falcons over the Cleveland Browns pretty much all the way around. Now we've got New England at Tennessee. I've got the Patriots, Rome, home road. I don't care. I'm going with the Patriots over the Titans in this one. Chad going the same way as well. Mike Vrabel facing his old head coach and Bill Belichick. Are you going anywhere different between me and Chad?
Well, see, Tennessee has this habit of getting these weird victories. They had one just on Monday night with the Dallas Cowboys. Not something that usually happens. Dallas losing at home, except it is something that usually happens in primetime. Dallas has been struggling a lot this season. Anyways, we're not going to go with Tennessee. We're actually going to go with New England, the Patriots, both me and Matt.
And Andy, wow. Which way are you and the coin leaning?
New England for Coach Tinker, and we'll go with the coin here. Coin says Tennessee. Let's go, baby.
Tennessee at home.
Home teams. Right.
Andy's either going to like streak up the standings in this final week, or he's going to fall below 40%.
Who cares at this point, man?
There's no show next week. This is the final show, so nobody will know anyway. Players, which way are you guys going?
New England.
Yeah, we got New England.
After
a few early losses in the season, they've been on a hot streak, though.
New England for Cole and Bob. And now we turn to Jacksonville at Indianapolis. Jacksonville Jaguars have been up and down this season, but they're coming off a bye. Meanwhile, Andrew Luck looking like the comeback player of the year. So give me the Colts at home. Give Chad Jacksonville on the road, though. Which way are you going, Nick?
Jacksonville's a dumpster fire right now. Meanwhile, Indianapolis
Jacksonville's back to being Jacksonville.
Exactly. Meanwhile, Indianapolis actually has a running game now with Marlon Mack. So Matt and I will both take the Colts.
And Andy?
Coach Tinker actually has Jacksonville this weekend on the road. As far as my pick, I'm agreeing, Jacksonville.
And Cole and Bob, which way are you and the rest of the players going?
We're going with Jacksonville. Indianapolis has looked good, but Jacksonville's just, I don't know. They haven't been the best this year, but I think their defense
has always been talented.
Their defense is good, and they are coming off the bye week as well. Now we've got Kansas City hosting Arizona. This one could get a little ugly. So I've got Kansas City at home. Is anyone going with the Arizona Cardinals in this one?
You know I'm not.
Maybe the coin.
No. Maybe the coin. That's it. The coin is always that random X factor.
Coin is going with Arizona.
The coin is just trying to.
It's going to have an awesome week.
You need to like just leave that somewhere behind. That
Let's
coin
do it.
Is not good luck. Speaking of ugly games, the Jets are taking on the Buffalo Bills. Derek Anderson listed as questionable as of right now, so it may be another week of Nathan Peterman. Meanwhile, for the Jets, Sam Darnold is in a boot as of today, so he may not be able to go either. I've still got the Jets at home in this one. Nick, which way are you and Matt going?
Listen, any chance of Nathan Peterman playing means I'm going to go with the other team, and me and Matt will both pick the Jets.
Right.
So the Jets
same
in that one.
Same for Coach Tinker there. That's not a good flip. We're going to go with a different one here. Oh,
maybe the cleanest one you've had all season.
Coin says New York Jets.
Hey. New York Jets. Even the coin knows better not to side with the Buffalo Bills.
Cole,
Bob, all the way around. There we go. Now we've got Washington at Tampa Bay. Chad and I have Washington on the road. Tampa, their offense is better with Fitzmagic under center, but their defense is still atrocious one way or another. So give Chad and I Washington. Nick, which way are you and Matt going?
You know, Washington just had three guys go on IR. They're reeling a little bit right now. I'm going to go with Tampa Bay, and this is the one where Matt and I disagree because he's picking a tie.
A tie between Washington and Tampa Bay. It's either going to be like a 43-43 tie or a 7-7 tie. Andy, which way are you guys going?
Coach Tinker has Washington. The coin has the Buccaneers.
And Cole Bob, which way are the Fox Warriors going?
Washington.
Washington. Now we've got the L.A. Chargers at the Oakland Raiders. I was just saying before, hard for Oakland to find these talented pass rushers when you keep getting rid of all of them the moment you get into town. So give me the L.A. Chargers on the road. Give Chad the Chargers on the road. Nick, are you following suit?
You know, as big of a Chiefs fan as I am, I have to admit the Chargers could easily be leading the division right now if they didn't drop so many passes from Phillip Rivers in week one against the Chiefs.
That's news to Los Angeles because no Chargers fans have been going to any of their games
right,
in a
right.
30,000-seat stadium.
No, there's no doubt about it. And that was actually a home game for the Chargers against the Chiefs week one. Anyways, Matt and I both have L.A.
And which way is the coin going, and Coach Tinker?
We're going Coach Tinker has L.A. The coin also has L.A.
And for the players, which way are you guys going?
Oh, Chargers. We did L.A., yeah. They're a pretty good team.
L.A. Chargers. They again,
they're underrated.
Kind of like last year. They're having a good year, too.
They're just absolutely. Under the start or freaking Kansas City.
Underrated for sure.
Yeah, Kansas City really overshadowing them in that division. Now Miami is at Green Bay. Looking like Brocktober may continue further into November, so give me the Packers. Give Chad the Packers. I imagine Matt's going with the Packers, being a Packers fan. Nick, are you going that way as well?
Yeah, eventually Green Bay's got to right the ship a little bit, and Miami, I don't really see them as much of a threat on the road, so I will go with the Packers, as will Matt.
This is that like week where if a team is struggling, you got this type of opponent, defense isn't that good, backup quarterback is in for them. This is your chance to right the ship. Andy, which way is the coin and Coach Tinker going?
Yeah, Green Bay for Coach Tinker. And, yeah, that's a very smart pick because Green Bay at home against Brock Osweiler. How in the world can Brock Osweiler do it on the road? I know, right? It's impossible.
In Lambeau.
Impossible, right? That's why they're going to win. Miami, let's go. Right.
And for the players, Cole, Bob, which way are you guys going?
We got Green Bay.
Yeah, we got Green Bay up in here.
Green Bay. Rogers. Now it's the L.A. Rams who are no longer undefeated, no more undefeated teams in the NFL. They're looking to bounce back as they host the Seattle Seahawks, so give Chad and I the Rams at home.
Yeah,
Nick,
I'm
which way are you and Matt going?
I'm going to go with the Rams despite the loss and despite Seattle actually being a little bit better than I think people thought. I don't think the Rams are going to lose two in a row, so Matt and I both are on L.A.
And Andy, which way are you, the coin, and Coach Tinker going?
Coach Tinker has the L.A. Rams. I have Seattle.
Ooh, Seattle over Los Angeles.
Let's go.
On the road. Okay. And now we turn to Cole. Bob, which way are the Fox Warriors going?
Sadly, the Rams.
Yeah, we got the Rams. Even though they lost to the Saints last week, the Saints pretty on a hot streak. They just got Dez Bryant.
So at this point in the pick 'em, I always like to pose the question. You said sadly, so I imagine you guys are former Rams fans then. Are some of you still pulling for the Rams a little bit now that they're doing well, or you just outright hate them?
I like them just because, I like them, but I wish Kroenke wasn't money hungry and just didn't want to get out of here.
So you guys born and raised Rams fans then?
Oh, yeah.
Have you adopted a new team in the meantime?
The Broncos. I was a big Tim Tebow fan when he was
really?
There.
NFL Tim Tebow? Or
yeah.
Okay.
I liked college Tim Tebow, but then I went with him when he went to the NFL.
I've been a Packers fan since I was young. I like Rodgers ever since I was
young. Oh, so you're a Packers fan then. Okay, so you and Matt would get along just fine. Now we've got two games to get to, the primetime games. Sunday night football, Dallas looking to bounce back. They take on Philadelphia on the road. Chad has Dallas over Philadelphia. I'm going to disagree with that. It's Philly at home. They're coming off a bye week, and they just got Golden Tate added to their lineup as well. So give me the Eagles at home. Chad, again, Dallas on the road. Nick, which way are you going?
Dallas has given me absolutely no reason to pick them, especially after losing at home to Tennessee. I've got Philly, as does Matt.
And for Andy,
giving me a chance to pick him, I just traded for Amari Cooper in fantasy, and that's why Dallas is going to win. Let's go.
Man. He might get one game
Coach
right.
Coach Tinker has Philadelphia.
And for the players.
Hey, we went for an upset this week. We're going to go Dallas.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, what's telling you that Dallas is going to win this one?
I think Amari Cooper is going to help them a lot. I really do, because now they actually have that star wide receiver that will bring people out of the box and keep pressure off of hopefully Zeke and Dak.
Tough box that Philadelphia has, but Dallas, you're right. If they can get Amari Cooper going, that could certainly open things up for Zeke Elliott. Now we turn to Monday Night Football, and it's unfortunately for me as a Giants fan probably going to be an ugly game. Chad has the Giants on the road. I don't know why. Yeah, they're coming off the bye, but the Giants offense has just been hot garbage this year. Don't pick the Giants. I'm going with San Francisco instead. Matt, Nick, please show me that I'm right.
Listen, I'm working the night shift on Monday, so I won't have a chance to watch this. I'm not unhappy about that at all. Matt and I both...
not a game you really want to watch.
No, not at all. But I think the pick's actually not too difficult. San Fran's at home. We'll take San Francisco, I guess.
And Mullins looked good in that last
Nick
week, too.
Mullins, man. How about that?
Mm-hmm. And Andy?
Coach Tinker with San Francisco and the coin, the final flip of the season. going to San Francisco also.
Glad you caught it on the final flip of the season, too. Yeah. Cole, Bob, end us off on a good note. Which way are you guys going Monday Night Football?
We got San Fran.
San Francisco at home over the New York Giants. That wraps things up for the Coles Tractor and Equipment Football Roundtable. We'd like to thank Cole, Bob, Coach Brett Tinker, and the rest of the Fox Warriors for joining us today. Best of luck this Friday night. We won't be there to cover it, unfortunately, but you know, we certainly wish you guys the best of luck against Jackson.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate you having us.
And a big thank you also to the Regional Radio Sports crew, Chad Speaker, Program Director, KGF Sports Director, and Matt Greenwood, Nick Lewis, and Andy Humphrey as well. We also have Corey Johnson, who's been helping out quite a lot with some of the production back in the studio. And on the board throughout the season, it's been Jack Sadler, Kennedy Lira, as well as Derek. Once again, this coming Friday night, it is District Championship Football on Regional Radio on J98. Valley is at Haytai on KREI, Central at Kennett, and on KJF. Festus is on the road taking on West Plains. Once again, on behalf of the Regional Radio Sports crew, I'm Sean Malone. Tune in Friday night at 6 o'clock for the Fleet Equipment pregame show. Until then, enjoy the rest of your week.